ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Snow day on the Stephanie Miller Show. I've been out making snow angels all morning in New York. What the? Why do I have to be at work?
Because I have to be at work because it's, in the mid-70s here in Los Angeles.
Oh, stop with that. I used to be that obnoxious L.A. person. And now I hate you.
Uh-huh.
It is the... Now I understand why everyone hates me.
Exactly.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show by Coastal. Welcome to it. It's Fridays with Fuglesang all 3 hours. John Fuglesang's here in the New York Bureau.
Happy New Year, Steffers.
Why, happy New Year to you, sir.
It's lovely having you here in New York. It's so cold here. If you move from L.A. to New York, the first thing that happens is your tattoos freeze off. And
but
then
you know.
It's wonderful to have you back.
Thank you. It's cold, John Fuglesang.
It is very cold. If you walk around New York City today, it's so cold, the only people on the sidewalk are smokers.
Ah.
Yes.
That's how we keep warm.
That's the ghetto.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy. Surly associate producer, Rebecca Taylor. Good morning, Rebecca.
Oh, wait a minute. She needs to get in here.
Oh.
She doesn't think she's a part of the show.
Show comes to a
screeching
halt.
And I still have to remind her.
All right. You can email us all there. Voice deity Jim Ward as well. And John Fuglesang all 3 hours with us in the New York Bureau. Very, very exciting.
In spite of popular demand, I'm here.
Oh, and I don't know. Is Mama's Larry King up on StephanieMiller.com?
It certainly is. Thanks to Shano in Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Shano.
How about that, Stephanie Miller?
Hello.
How about that?
Oh, you want to know the, because this is what I always talk about, is the pre-show conversation between Larry and I. That's because it seems to be the most entertaining part. When I'm in L.A., he sings me show tunes and tells me, like, Catskills jokes and stuff.
If you were blonde, you'd have a shot with me.
So, but this is so you don't know how, John, they talk in your ear.
Yes.
The host does so that, they know they can hear you and you can hear them and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he just goes, Stephanie, you live in New York now. And I said, I don't know, Larry, sort of, unless you beg me to come back. He goes, come back. And I'm like, okay. I'm so easy. And Schultz tells me to move to New York. I'm like, okay.
Please come back.
Come back. I'm like, all right.
That's how it sounds for Sean.
Please come back. Right after this word. Then we'll be here for the Growing Pains reunion show.
So lots of folks tweeted me. Somebody had hoped that I could reach through the my little box there and strangle Babe Buchanan, which I would have if I could have. And I also would have reached into the previous segment to strangle Paul Bremer if I could have.
Oh, yes.
I'm like, what? Hey, haircut! You screwed up a rack! What the hell do you know? It's just all this, like, the president's not doing it right. He's not doing it right. He's prosecuting like criminal.
Exactly. You know, Paul Bremer screwed up a rack. He screwed up so badly, NBC's going to give him the 11:30 spot.
Hey! Yay! Ladies and gentlemen, the first Leno joke has been thrown out.
If Dick Cheney's approval ratings go low enough, does he get his old job back, too?
What was I saying?
Paul Bremer and his hair.
What? Seriously?
What?
Your strategy is attack the wrong country? That's your war on terror strategy, for God's sakes? It's like you're watching his lips move. Go, no. You screw up everything. You don't get to say what you think.
L. Paul Bremer.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible that they're still upset about prosecuting criminals as criminals in this country. They don't want to declare war legally, which we haven't done since 1941.
Right.
So these are guys who hate gay folks but want it both ways, because they don't want to declare war because they want to be able to call them unlawful enemy combatants, because if you call them prisoners of war, you can't, pour crap on their face. And so instead, they're trying to have it both ways, and by their own admission, we're not at war.
But yeah.
If they wanted war, we would have declared war, like the Constitution says we're supposed to.
Yeah. Well, like I was saying, plus this guy already told us everything. It's like he admitted it. Yes, I'm Al Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was trained in Yemen. It's like, so what are we torturing? Are we trying to get the front line of the Packers?
I swear.
Are we trying to get?
We're trying to have war forever. That's the goal, right? The goal here is that war is good for the economy. Every tank is made from parts made in 10 different states. It's a jobs program. We're going to be at war forever. That's why we only have war against things that will never go away, like terror or communism. These things will always be there. And so Paul's job is to be a part of the movement and keep us thinking we need all this going on and on and on. But you know what? These are the knuckleheads we're at war with. A guy who melts his own scrotum off with a faulty airplane bomb.
Yeah.
These are the people that we've got to send 30,000 troops to Afghanistan for?
Yeah.
Like, am I the only one that realized it's knuckleheads we're fighting? Like,
there's nothing we can do about someone that's willing to melt their own scrotum, in my opinion.
Nope. If men want to do that, there's Craigslist.
There's not a man I know.
There's Craigslist or Al-Qaeda, but they'll find a way.
Oh, Lord. All right. Meanwhile, it continues to be a madcap adventure, my move to New York, John. Kind of going disastrously.
Oh, stop that now. It's not.
Oh, well, a little bit it is.
What happened?
As you know, I almost lost. It was funny right up until I almost lost an eye.
Yeah,
over the holidays.
It's a good look.
By the way, Chris, this is my new thing. It's like that. Does this look infected to you? I've saved my gross eye pictures and I keep showing them to everybody.
Why?
I showed them to the hair and makeup people in CNN last night.
Oh, just showed me.
And people are like, yeah, why did you do that?
Yeah.
I just want you to see how
that's
bad
your
it was.
Headshot submission for 28 months later when they come out with a zombie film.
Yes.
It's great. It's just the red eyes. It's like you're waking up next to Tom Sizemore. Like,
I almost made the makeup people at the Joy Behar show Monday show up. They were like, oh, why did you do
it? Yeah.
And that's a really hard thing to do.
I don't want you to see how much better it is. I don't know.
Steph, that's not the way to make friends.
I disagree.
Or influence people.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll be, you know who I'll be doing it to tonight? MSNBC. I'll be on The Ed Show. And I will be on tonight and Monday because they're grooming me after he leaves for the Senate to take. That's probably not true. I'm just saying it. So
I'll vote for both of you.
Now it's true.
I'll vote for both of you.
Okay. Oh, anyway, Chris. So, the other big disaster is my landlords won't let me put in a dog door. And let me just say, my dogs are developing some interesting habits.
I got to
say. That involve peeing and pooping and chewing and barking that they didn't previously have. We asked if I could, the realtor asked if I can get out of the lease, Chris.
Right.
Let me just say, I don't know how anyone would get by in New York without the F word because it's in every sentence. Apparently the quote was no way.
Oh, dear.
Is she getting out of the
So, but if you don't have a dog door...
Because I found an apartment a block away that'll let me have a dog door, but
Why don't you pay rent at the new apartment, at the old apartment, and the mortgage here in Los Angeles?
Oh, what a great idea that would be, particularly with how much money you just cost me yesterday. Chris, would you like to hit my wacky comedy sitcom music, please? Why, this was the letter I got from my realtor in L.A. yesterday.
Ooh.
As you know, my good friend, my dear friend and executive producer, Chris LeMoy, was a squatter for the last, how long, Chris?
For 2 months.
A couple of months. Mm.
And I kept the place spotless.
Uh-huh.
While he was squatting. It's a lot like rent.
Here's what I'm finding, John. A dude's impression of clean, not most, people's impression.
Yeah.
But
we knew this.
The current tenants wrote, I took our housekeeper over to the new house today to do what I thought would be some light cleaning before we moved in. I wanted to let you know I was quite surprised by the condition it was in.
Uh-huh.
While it appeared neat and tidy, on closer inspection, it was quite dirty. The stove was greasy and splattered with food. The sink was also greasy and stained with coffee rings. The drawers were dirty with food particles and what looked like ash from incense. The fridge still contained
ash
a bunch of half-eaten food containers, jars, etc. The master shower glass was filmed in soap and scum. The toilets had not been cleaned. The floors had not been swept. Forget the furniture being dusted or the windows washed. It seems for a month. It should have been habitable when the keys were turned over. As it is, our housekeeper and her cousin spent 5 hours there today and will spend the day there Friday as well. Just thought you might want to know. All the best, the current tenants of Mama's house, L.A. So now I've had the...
When did you burn incense?
There. And also, the washer is broken.
And you know what? The Whippet canisters were all gone, so it balances out.
And by the way, how do you get this many condoms off a ceiling?
When did you burn incense? Because I sure as hell didn't.
I don't know what you did there with your satanic rituals and God knows what all.
Okay.
I had to write, I am so sorry for my slovenly producer. I'll be happy to reimburse
you. In my defense, you said, if you keep it clean.
I asked you, I said, does my housekeeper need to come? And you're
seriously. Stephanie, I said, do you think the housekeeper should come? And you said, no, they have their own housekeeper. That is what
I don't
you
think that
said.
Was the I think the conversation was, does it need to be cleaned before they move in?
And
I just want to say that, Chris, I saw the house. I was there. I spent 3 hours helping you wash that pentagram off the floor. It was fine.
Chicken blood doesn't come out with 409. Who knew?
Uh-huh.
You need the goopy gone.
No, a little baking soda and you're fine. And it wasn't chickens, but we'll talk off the air about that.
Oh, dear. All right. No, I just, you know, guys, I'm just saying.
I'm just appalled.
Listen, if you've ever seen Jim Ward's bathroom, you know what I'm talking about. It looks like it looks like Whitney Houston's bathroom they took a picture of once.
It's like some Jim Ward's bathroom is like some Mordor Middle Earth thing, like I live to tell the tale of the... But
guys, like, you just put laundry in the corner, and it doesn't stand up and walk away on its own. That's all. That's clean. I've seen men do the sniff. Oh, that's not so bad. That's fine. I'll do that again.
And might I add that I did call a repairman. The washing machine was fixed. I don't know what happened.
Wash in there? Some sort of bondage gear or something?
Yes, bondage gear, because I'm so into bondage.
Don't put leather masks in a dryer, Stephanie.
I've told you this. Stephanie,
let me explain something to you. My parents bought that exact same model of washing machine back in 1981.
It's better than the ones they make now.
So, might I suggest it's might be time for a new...
No, I think I bought it since I've been there. I swear to God. All right, never mind. We're bickering now.
That exact same model in 1981.
Oh, here's my favorite, by the way, about the F-word being part of New Yorker's vocabulary. Mm-hmm. Of course, there is actually, because you love your chicken, there's a chicken store here. Mm-hmm. You know how in L.A. we have El Pollo Loco, or you know what the name of it here is?
What?
Pluck You.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. That's the New York chicken shop.
Okay. Interesting.
Big college chain. Pluck You.
It's very exciting.
Actually, there's a chicken restaurant near Arizona State University called Cluck You.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There you go. Yes. I told you I'm going to get you for your birthday. That's the New York hat that just says you.
Okay.
Big white letters on a black hat.
All right. You better send that along because my birthday's next week.
Oh. I've been shopping so much. Really? Okay.
I'm still appalled about the dog door. I mean, it's Manhattan. Everyone has a dog door in Manhattan.
Oh, shut up.
How are the meth heads supposed to get in and find a place to sleep without a dog door?
You sound like my landlords. I got this lecture. Didn't you hear about the girl and the TV girl in Houston? He crawled through the dog door and killed her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no.
Well, it's so hard to meet people in Manhattan otherwise.
How else am I going to meet someone? All right, 18 minutes
after
the hour.
Yeah, people are so scarce.
I'll
Manhattan.
Tell you how I intend to make more money here in Manhattan to pay for Chris Lavoie's transgressions. And it involves a pole. I'll tell that story as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Highbrow, lowbrow, unibrow. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We are in a 3-hour Fridays with Buglesang extravaganza. John Buglesang in studio with us.
They've just announced they're going to give the phone to Michael Steele, so no one will ever hear him again.
Thank you. All right. What was that? What was that music, Christopher?
Oh, now, you know, if he'd been cleaning up your house instead of playing this.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, baby, that's right. I sure am glad that $2 I spent on the deuce ain't going to waste. What do you mean there's
like, that
three
sounds like any 80s movie, that song. It sounds like that, what is the song? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you see the cool car.
Yeah, that one Ferris Bueller song that was in every commercial.
Yeah. All right, here's how I decided I'm going to make some extra money here in New York, which it just occurs to me is very expensive. Who knew?
Oh, you noticed that, yeah.
Yeah. Quite a shock. There was a Manhattan pole dancing lawsuit going forward. A woman says a Manhattan gym left her hanging when she tried a new workout pole dancing. Sue Ann Wee, that's her name. Wee.
She sued Ann Wee?
She filed she's lost her ennui, and that's what she's suing for.
Mm. Happens to the best of us.
Mm-hmm. She filed a lawsuit last week. She seriously hurt both her shoulders when she slid down a pole and fell onto the floor while taking a crunch-up pole dancing class.
Well, at least you went for it. I guess
I'm spazzy enough to injure myself pole dancing.
You could sue your pole dancer.
I almost took my eye out on my fireplace, you know. All right. Rebecca has sent this along, Chris. It's a, can I have my dating music, please? This is somebody, this listener wants to date you and has a marijuana degree.
What?
Which, you know.
Really?
I don't smoke marijuana.
Neither do I. Mike writes, staff, single. 56, a no fireplace mantle, plenty of wine, a marijuana degree from the University of Tennessee. What? It's a PhD, dude. And the
high grades.
Okay. And the Gulf of Mexico at the back door for you and your doggies must be housebroken. This guy, what's his name? Mike. Mike has a degree in.
It's good to know the marijuana degree didn't affect his punctuation.
All right. Oh, and this one, probably a future husband, but also somebody that is a bigger loser than me, which any of these stories just catch my eye immediately.
Really?
Police say a Pennsylvania man in a hospital gown stole $50 from his ex-girlfriend at Walmart, then tried to flee on a store-owned motorized shopping scooter.
Oh. How many times have I tried to flee and thought, oh, I'm wearing the hospital gown?
It's catching in my motorized scooter that I also stole from Walmart. All right. So John Fugelsang, the big terror, what do you call it? I don't know. It was a press conference, I guess, was yesterday.
Terror Fest, I know, where Obama took the blame for all of Bush's bad bureaucracy. It was really nice to watch, wasn't it? The buck stops here.
It was something new, a president actually taking responsibility. I mean, do you remember, you know, I was thinking back, we were talking about this on Larry King last night. Do you remember the Bush administration ever taking responsibility for anything?
I remember.
It was all them. Oh, it's us against them. It was like, excuse me, what about you? I mean, do you remember that there was no press conference about accountability?
Oh.
Like, oh,
no.
Sorry, geez, we really, that
well,
was,
that was
my,
that,
our bad.
Because that was Clinton's fault. You understand this, right?
Yes.
Here's how it works,
as
Obama.
As Mary Madeline said, they inherited it from Clinton.
Yeah. Here's how it works, Obama, because it's pretty simple. When Bush did this, when Bush got a warning that this was going to happen,
Yeah. Okay,
he took 6 weeks vacation. That's what a man does,
Yeah. All right?
You go on 6 weeks
and
vacation and do nothing, exactly, at the set that is your home. And the person who was in charge of Bush's national security got promoted to Secretary of State.
Yeah.
That's how leaders do it. I want to thank Sean Hannity for showing me that it's okay now to criticize the Commander-in-Chief during wartime.
Yeah.
Because I was a bit confused by that.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's the deal. I want to tell all my right-wing friends, because I know they're listening, you don't need to worry about Obama being ready, because if we ever are attacked by terrorists, I have it on authority that the Secret Service is ready to give Obama a copy of My Pet Goat. So we will be safe.
They're ready to go. They're all set. Yeah, I feel like I'm in a parallel universe. I was saying that last night. I was, you know, when they talked, they had the audacity to talk about the president and react quickly. And I was like, Bush looked like he went in his pants, and then he flew away from the danger.
And then he lied about it.
And he missed it in the first place. I mean, it's like, and then they keep talking about, oh, so many days. It took Bush 6 days to say anything about the shoe bomber, and then he barely said anything. He just was like, oh, thanks to the good people on the plane, and okay.
Exactly. You gotta throw this back in your right-wing friends and loved ones and coworkers' faces, folks, because Bush dropped the ball so many times he could play for the Nets. They did this, and I admire that Obama stood up and took responsibility and said the buck stops here. Look, it was really bad that this happened, okay? If someone's buying a one-way ticket
cash.
To America in cash and checking no bags, I want them screamed. That's radical profiling. That's what I want. It's really simple to do. But you got to remember, Homeland Security, the greatest explosion of big government since World War II.
By the way,
Republicans, this was Bush's bureaucracy that failed.
By the way, you know, Jim Ward has posited a number of things that seem a little odd or fishy about this whole thing. But what you just said is one of them. Isn't Al-Qaeda smart enough, or don't terrorists know that that's one of the I mean, how easy is that to just check a bag?
Oh, I know.
You know, use a credit card. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It seems like that's like
terrorist
101. Don't buy a ticket in cash. Don't, you know, travel with a bag.
Don't get
a one-way ticket.
Although,
I mean, seriously, Al-Qaeda, like, they don't have the money to go for the round-trip ticket.
If you're a terrorist,
for God's sakes, look at the deals Virgin's running now.
If you're a terrorist, you might not have the best credit in the world, so you might not be able to get a credit card. Just saying.
Perhaps, but, you know, I don't know.
All of it. One-way ticket, no bag.
Yeah, now, Al-Qaeda's got a Diners Club card, Chris, so I reject that. That's where Diners Club's working now. This was easily preventable, and it was all done by one word, one letter being misspelled in the name.
Yeah, all right. But thank God we're safe from Joan Rivers. All right, who used two names. Representative Bruce Braley from Iowa next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Who the hell is this woman trying to shove her crazy ideas down my throat?
Stephanie Miller.
Eat up. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Joined by John Fugelsang all 3 hours.
Word.
It's a Fugelsang full Friday. And Representative Bruce Braley, one of our personal favorites from the great state of Iowa. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, sir. Is it true? Won't we at long last actually have health care? Go ahead.
Let me start by saying it's so cold and snowy in Iowa, I think I can see Russia from my backyard today.
He's just here for the jokes, folks.
But yes, we had a long conference call yesterday with the House Democrats, and even though we've got a lot of work left to do and a lot of concerns remain after the Senate bill passed, we are certainly moving toward a final health care vote. And for many of us, it's going to depend upon what's in that final bill in order for us to be able to vote for it.
Now, Leader Pelosi yesterday, Chris, do we have this? She talked about, the public option. I want to get your take on this. Leader Pelosi yesterday.
We will have what we need to hold the insurance companies accountable. I contend that whatever we have coming out of this bill will hold them accountable, and they'll be crying out for a public option one of these days.
Is that true? I mean, do you feel comfortable with whatever is in this is going to be enough to hold the insurance companies accountable?
Not until I see the final language of the bill, Stephanie. I mean, one of the things that was very important about the bill that I voted on, not only did it have a public option, but it also eliminated the antitrust exemption for health insurance companies, which would have given regulators much more clout in preventing them from taking advantage of consumers. The fundamental focus of this bill all along has been to create more options and more affordable choices for consumers. So we certainly heard some encouraging news yesterday about the ongoing negotiations, but we're waiting to see what that final language looks like and what type of accountability is actually going to be there. Many people on that call expressed concern about the Senate's 50-state insurance exchange proposal. Most of us believe in the House that that's a totally unworkable solution, that we need a national health insurance exchange to give consumers all over this country the same type of choices that they're going to need to make good, informed decisions for themselves and their families.
Mm-hmm. I love this story yesterday. I don't know if you heard about it, but Representative Mike Kaufman, one of your colleagues, a Republican from Colorado, who's, of course, called the health care reform a trillion-dollar government takeover of health care, indicative of a radical liberal agenda that threatens our freedom. So he breaks his ankle over Christmas morning, unfortunately, and brags about how good the health care system is. And, of course, you guys have kind of a good health care plan, don't you? He doesn't acknowledge that, the reason he got such good care and he only had, I think, a $30 copay is because you guys have government health care, right?
Absolutely. We have the same coverage that other federal employees do, and it's the type of choices that every American should be able to have. And it's just like one of my town hall meetings where somebody stood up and lambasted the health care bill, and after the meeting was standing in front of me saying, "Congressman, I need your help." I said, "What can I do for you?" He said, my brother lives in the northern part of your district, which is about 90 miles south of Rochester, Minnesota, and he wants to go to the Mayo Clinic for treatment for his non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, but they aren't allowing him to go there because they're not in his provider network."
Yes.
But healthcare was working great for him.
Yeah. No, I mean, it really is amazing to think they're making a point. Kaufman said, "I successfully tested our healthcare system. It works." It's like, well, it works because you have the public option that we're talking about. I mean, you heard about Rush Limbaugh and his heart scare over the holidays. He said, the same thing. Healthcare system works great. I paid cash.
Union Progressive Hospital.
It's like, how many people can afford to pay cash for their health care? Because I don't have insurance.
Not many of the people at my 17 town hall meetings were paying cash for their health care. I can tell you that, unless they were forced to.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's a guy with a $400 million contract explaining how the health care system works so well. Seems to me they're actually proving our points, right?
That's right. We want you to have a contract like that so you can make those similar claims on your show.
That's my point, Congressman, is how you get me that contract. That's what this is really all about. You've busted me for my master plan. Here's, Here's obviously the other big issue in the news is the televising these hearings. What is your take on that? Because, you know, people are saying, oh, that's what the president said on the campaign trail.
Like, this is the biggest bogus argument I can possibly imagine. If you look at how this process has evolved from day one, this has been the most transparent airing of a major public policy debate probably in the last 25 years in Congress. From the very first time when a draft bill was posted on the Internet until the final passage, you compare that with what the Republicans did in 2003 with their Medicare Modernization Act. They introduced the bill on June 16th, and they passed it on June 27th after holding the vote open for 3 hours. They call that transparency.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that the people have had access to from day one.
Right.
There have been 100 hours of hearings, 181 witnesses just in the House, 83 hours of committee markups, 239 amendments. We spent 9 hours debating this bill on the floor,
yeah,
and it's been available to the American public from day one. We need to get this bill passed.
And I have to say, my take on it is, I don't think even the president expected this level of obstructionism from Republicans on health care. I mean, maybe he shouldn't have said it on the campaign trail, but it's like I really think he ran and really believed that he would get more, bipartisan outreach on this. And I think when he did, to me, you know what, things have changed. It's like they have been nothing but the party of no on this for what, almost a year? At this point, I agree with the president. Just get it done. You know, the Republicans have never agreed to have any of their negotiations televised. You know, it's ridiculous.
No, unless they were allowing the direct company lobbyists in to help them write the bill. That was the most important part of that process.
Right. Right. I mean, at this point, like I say, it's just this is, and they've been upfront about saying their only point has been to delay or stop this. They're not trying to be part of this process. So at this point, I say just get it done. Congressman,
no,
go ahead.
They ignore the fact that many of those amendments that we considered in the committee and on the floor were offered by Republicans, and a number of them were adopted and incorporated into the bill. So there has been input, there has been an open process, and this is just more crocodile tears.
Yep, absolutely. Congressman, let's get your take on the press conference yesterday on the Christmas Day bomber.
Well, look,
I try not to use the word underpants with Congress people, but you know what I'm talking about.
It's terrifying. This is a very serious concern for everyone in this country, especially people who fly on a regular basis. We need to make sure that we have a national security system that balances the needs to prevent these type of acts with the legitimate rights of privacy. We had an issue that came up during a hearing on full body imaging scanning, and there were some very legitimate privacy concerns raised. But there have also been some advancements in technology. And what we have to do is have a meaningful conversation without all the hyperbole about how we can provide the greatest level of protection and still respect people's right of privacy. And so when you have a problem that it erupts like this, it's important for Congress to play its oversight role, get to the bottom of this problem, and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess I'm once again, and I shouldn't be astounded that the right wing is politicizing this to the degree they are when, unless I'm crazy, I don't remember after 9/11 or after the shoe bomber, Democrats politicizing this and criticizing the president to the degree that Dick Cheney and his friends have.
It's just what we've come to expect, and our responsibility is not to be diverted by all of the hysteria, to focus on the real legitimate concerns and try to resolve them, and then to move forward with a positive agenda. That's what we were elected to do, and that's what I'm hoping 2010 becomes.
Yep, absolutely. Well, with more Bruce Braley's, we'll get there. Representative Bruce Braley, Democrat of the great state of Iowa, thank you, sir.
Great to be on the show. Thanks,
thank
Stephanie.
Thank you. You too. All right. You didn't have to do that, John. I have a box. It's okay.
Oh,
you're very cute.
Well, my hands are as good as your hands. Yeah.
He did it the old-fashioned way.
That's with right.
With his hands.
I'm analog.
As Hal Sparks calls me Ms. Dial-Up. That's me. I don't. You know, when you're talking to congresspeople and senators, John, what do you call it? He's the crotch bomber, but you don't want to...
You don't
necessarily
say, that.
Say crotch or underwear.
No, it's true.
Well, there's a unit. Well, actually, after the unit bombers, he technically would be the unit bomber, I guess, because he tried to blow his own unit up. Ow!
Yeah, Abdul Muttalib doesn't roll off the tongue as well as you'd like. We have to get a cashier nickname.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 44 minutes after the hour, back with some more crunchy audio goodness from the terror press conference yesterday on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look, the two symbols of the Republican Party, an elephant and a big fat white guy who's threatened by change.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tim in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim.
It's so much pressure, it turns off, but by the time the valve closes, you've already overfilled it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you can't do that with the valve. It'll overflow if you do it at that level. Uh-huh. Hi, Tim. How are you? It's Stephanie Miller.
Let's go back to Tim.
Okay, Tim, you know what? You take care of it. Yeah, I'm not busy. It's okay. Yeah, put him on hold.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not a good time for Tim. Okay.
Can you leave Tim out? It's not a good time for Tim. Why are you bothering him?
Sorry.
Why?
Tell him I'm sorry I called during such an important time for him.
What are you trying to do? Tim, what are you doing?
It's all about the valves. Come
What's
on.
He building
Everybody
in there?
Knows you can't set it there. It will overflow.
What the hell is he building in there?
Aw, Tim went. He left.
Oh, Tim.
Chris, does this happen to important radio hosts? Is there anybody talking about a friggin' valve when they call the drug-addled gas bag?
No.
Hang on, Rush. This
the drug-addled gas bag has his own valve problems lately.
Yay!
Hey! Oh, come on. It's okay. Tragedy plus time equals...
Oh, it was actually quite lucky that Limbaugh had the heart removed in 89.
Hey, the slaving ladies. Okay.
Union Progressive Hospital, by the way, is where he was taken.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful, beautiful. People, there is a God. He's laughing. Watch. Pay attention.
Jim in Detroit on the War on Terror. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Steph. This is actually a story of pre-9/11 situation.
With your pre-9/11 mentality.
Hey, take this. We bought a ticket for Amtrak, went out to Denver, and then... did our thing out west and flew back. In the Denver airport, we were selected for a quote-unquote special screening. Mm. Now, this is a family of three, and two of them are redheads. I don't know. Was it the Bubba Ganoush breath or something? Ah. I'm not sure. But, does that tell you maybe something was in the works there back in July of 2001? Why were we screened for this?
Hmm.
Isn't there something that says, okay, these people bought a ticket... that was a train for the first half of it, and now they're flying back. Nobody pays attention to that. Nobody writes that down. There's no log of this.
All right. All right, Jim. Thank you. You were saying, John, I hadn't heard that, the reason why this guy got through.
Yeah, here's
one letter in his name.
Here's the deal, folks. State Department did a search on this guy after he was reported by his father, and the problem was someone dropped one letter from Abdul Muttalib's very, very long name. Now, my last name is Fuglesang, and it's a fine name. It's Navajo for lactose intolerant, but it's the F and the S sound a lot alike, so I can't order tickets anywhere through Ticketmaster, because I show up there and I'm like, two tickets for Fuglesang? Not here. Do you have Sugelsang? Do you have Fuglefang? Do you have Farfik Nugan Fusenglaja?
Yeah.
So this guy had one letter misspelled, and the State Department searched to see if he had applied for a visa. Their search turned up, no, he didn't, but because they misspelled the name. This was human error that caused this, as well as, you know, the bureaucracy, but they would have known he'd already had a visa if that had happened.
Mm-hmm.
So these things can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm surprised you can get anywhere with that name of yours. He was trying to help me with my technological impairment, Chris. Yeah. Earlier, we were trying to get on my Twitter feed, and he's like, "Well, go to mine." And what is it? Well, never mind. Fugle what?
Yes.
Oh, that's going to take even longer.
Try having a last name like Lavoie. That is not common in any way, shape, or form.
Tough for us ethnic men in this white man's world, Chris.
Yeah, I know.
Russ in Chicago on the healthcare debate. Hello, Russ.
Yeah, I wanted to know how much I'm going to have to pay each year to buy insurance.
$1 billion and a couple of friggin' sharks with laser beams attached to it.
$1 billion, nice. We're going to be forced to pay like $5,000 a year.
No, you're not.
Where'd you hear that?
Well, if I make $50,000, I'm not going to qualify for a subsidy, so I'm going to have to come out of my own pocket and come up with this money.
Do you get insurance through your job?
I would if I had a job being a union carpenter, but I haven't built a house in 3 years.
Do you get do you get your insurance through your union?
Wait a minute. So how do you make? Okay, are you unemployed for 3 years?
Yeah, I open my own business now.
So, and you make $50,000 a year at your own business?
Yeah, I fix things.
Okay. Okay. Good. So by the way, do you know what setting you need to have that valve so it doesn't overflow on that last call?
Do you know how to fix a washing machine?
All right.
I think he makes a very good point about the mandate. I think our Republican brothers and sisters are making a very good point about the mandate. I find it very troubling as a progressive. It's the first time in history that we're being mandated. The government's forcing you to give your money to a private corporation.
Well, that's why the public option, I think, critical, and I hope we can still get there. I think there's a lot of good things in here, like the pre-existing condition stuff.
A lot of good things. And this is a great thing to build on. This health care bill, while very, very flawed, we don't need to pretend it's not,
right.
Is something, and it's something that can be built upon and improved upon as opposed to nothing which the GOP has offered. But I do think that, you know, we're going to hear a lot of people saying they're forcing you to buy a faulty product.
Right.
It's not completely unprecedented. The states have been forcing people to buy auto insurance for years and years and years now.
Right, but you have the option to not buy a car.
What we're saying is one of the major reasons the system is broken is because a lot of people get their primary care through the emergency room because they don't have help, and then we all pay for that.
Absolutely.
That's the problem.
Absolutely.
You know,
and the Congressional Budget Office did say that a public option would be less than half over 10 years of what we're paying for 10 years of Iraq occupation, and we'll shave $127 billion off the deficit if we do it. If you're a conservative, financial conservative, you support a public option.
I have to say, I've always thought it's irresponsible, like not having auto insurance, not getting health insurance. I understand it's difficult for some people. I mean, that's part of the whole system. It's too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Insurance is too expensive. But it is. I think that particularly if, you know, you have any relatives of any kind with any kind of money, they're not going to let you die in a hospital, so you risk bankrupting your whole family.
Sure,
if something happens to you and you don't have insurance.
Lots of us don't have relatives with money to take care of us, though. And, you know, candidate Obama did say that, you know, having a mandate is like forcing homeless people to buy a house to solve the homeless problem.
Yeah.
And now he's comparing it to auto insurance.
I sympathize. I have a friend who has no health insurance, and she's had a couple of pretty serious things, and she was lucky enough to have a couple of different friends that, you know, I mean, I've helped her out. I've had, you know, she's had other friends that have helped her, but, I think that's a tough. And I have sympathy. She can't afford health insurance in this current environment and economy and with what she's doing. But it's like somewhere, John, someone else is always going to foot the bill is the problem.
Exactly right. And the public option would save us money in the long term. If you're a conservative, if you're a capitalist, you favor this. You got to point out that the other capitalist countries have universal health care.
Right.
There's none that don't.
What do you think about this? Brian Lamb, who, you know, did an hour-long interview with Mama on the C-SPAN.
Yeah. Yes, and he's a delightful man.
He is delightful.
That's the three-way of my dreams.
I think I told him he was a delight. He wrote a letter to the White House asking to televise the... you know, as we were talking to the congressman about, I mean, that is unprecedented. What have the Republicans ever tell? I mean, they're so hypocritical. They're screaming about this. Somebody was talking about, that's not the way negotiations go. They're never done.
We're paying for it. We deserve to see it. I also think that the Supreme Court and execution should be on TV as well.
Absolutely. I agree.
You put executions
on TV, you'll see that some Christians stopping the death penalty like Jesus told them to. And the Supreme Court, no excuse that they're not on television. We're paying for those robes.
Absolutely. I totally agree with
you. I like the crazy stuff that what's-his-name used to put on his. Remember he had all the Star Trek-looking things on his?
He was a Gilbert and Sullivan fan, the late Rehnquist, former Chief Justice, and former segregationist, I might add.
Yeah.
Rehnquist saw a production of the Mikado and decided he liked these gold ribbons. You'll remember this from the Clinton impeachment when he presided. And he sewed gold bands.
Yeah, that was weird.
Ooh.
It's like I just was like the Supreme Court looked like NASCAR eventually. They'll just be but it was like little felt decorations.
It looked like dinner theater musical. It was pretty sad. Rehnquist.
All right. Anyway, but the White House, of course, catching heat because many see this process as a direct betrayal of President Obama's promise to broadcast the negotiations on television. I just was making a point that I just feel like I really, you know, he really was elected with a lot of Republican and independent votes. And I think how much more could he have reached out on this? I don't think even he expected this solid block of obstructionism on health care. And at this point, they've just said, you know, Jim DeMint, he said it early on. This is, we want it to be his Waterloo. We want to break him.
No so Democrat expects a solid block of opposition on health care.
Just get it done. Get her done!
He's and they're doing it, but it's gotta be on camera. He promised. They got to do it.
No, they're not going to do it, John. But you can ask. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
MoMA's Media Horror Tour 2010 continues tonight on MSNBC on The Ed Show. I will also be on The Ed Show on Monday on MSNBC.
That's chemistry you can taste.
And I was on the Larry King Live last night. That is up on StephanieMiller.com in the YouTube section. Hello.
Most ironically named show on TV.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I love my Larry. Don't.
I love
don't.
Him, too. I love him, too.
Go there. All right, you can email us all there as well. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. All right, the job number's just out. And it was expected to go up. It's the same. Woohoo! We're still at 10.
Which is not very good. However, no. It didn't go up. So
there you go. Yeah. We shed 85,000 jobs last is it month? Yes, month.
Yes, in December.
Yes. You know what that means. It's time to talk to Christian Weller, fancy economist guy that doesn't like me to call him fancy economist guy.
Yes.
He is the director of public policy at the University of Massachusetts. That's in Boston, you know. Good morning, Christian Weller.
Good morning, Stephanie. You can call me anything you want.
Aww.
Fancy. It's fancy economist guy.
That's what my diploma says.
That's right. So, Christian, we joke, but I mean, 10% is nothing to celebrate, but, you know, I suppose in this economy, even when, you know, when they expected it to go up, I suppose that's some good news, huh?
Yes. I mean, the report is really nothing to celebrate. It basically shows there's some bright spots in the economy. Things are looking up in some areas. Bankers.
What areas are those?
Bankers are hiring again. In some of the retail sectors, we're hiring. Obviously, healthcare and education are going up. Healthcare seems to be this energizer bunny that keeps going up no matter what happens. Those are certainly positive things. The other big part here is that temporary employment is going up. And temporary employment is kind of the first step before you really see a resurgence in overall in permanent hiring. So that we added 47,000 new jobs in temporary.
That's what all of us in radio call our jobs, is temporary employment. Everything in show business is temporary.
But that's generally that's certainly good signs. We just wish there was more of it, and it would be a little bit more wider spread beyond just simply bankers getting their jobs back. It's great that we're not seeing a rising unemployment rate. It's also good that we're no longer in losing 700,000 jobs a month territory where we were a year ago, but losing 85,000 jobs is nothing to celebrate. And there is a lot of work that needs to be done, and I think the ball at this point is squarely in the political court, because it's not that companies are not making money. It's not that companies are not selling stuff. The retail season seems to have been better than people had expected. We see an uptick in industrial production. We see factory orders going up sharply. The service sector overall is expanding. Manufacturing sector is expanding. It's just not hiring. I think at this point you need to get the companies to believe that the recovery is real. you need to put pressure on them to actually spend the cash that they're sitting on buying new stuff and hiring more people. I mean, they're sitting on cash. We can see this in the statistics. So,
I sit on a mountain of cash here every morning at Stephanie Miller International. I just won't share it with anybody.
Yeah, the Stephanie Miller empire.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, it's the large corporations that have really been raking in some good monies for a year now, and basically haven't spent the money. And you do need to give them some reasons to spend the money, and I think that the fact that the recovery is real and has been going on for 6 months roughly is certainly good a reason. But the other part is also like exactly what the Obama administration is doing, calling people up and saying, like, look, we know you're sitting on cash. We can see it from your quarterly statements. Just go out and spend the money and do what is the right thing to do, and that is invest.
Christian, what's going on, do you think, in terms of lending and the housing market? It's interesting. I've been, you know, talking a lot about this because, you know, I've moved, and, you know, you start to consider, do you buy, do you sell, do you do this? And one of the things I still keep hearing is that it is really tough to get a loan. I think I talked to an accountant the other day, said he has clients making $1 million a year. He's having a hard time getting a loan for them. I mean,
Right. I think it depends a little bit on what kind of loan they're looking for.
I would assume in their case, it's probably a jumbo loan, right? Because you know, if they're making that kind of money, right?
I mean, we've certainly the go-go days where anybody could get a LIR loan, saying like, look, I don't need to show any, like, the no documentation loan.
Oh, I got that. I got that. I was out of work for 2 years, and I got a loan. But that's what someone was saying. You couldn't buy your house today because I got one of those loser loans. It was undocumented, exactly. Just, take my word for it. I'm fine.
Yeah, well, everybody should with you, Stephen. But I think the credit standards have gone up, and the credit quality is still very bad. There's a lot of delinquent loans out there. Bankers are nervous about what else may happen. So there is a return to decent standards, to strict standards in terms of lending. That does have the problem that certain sectors of the economy tend to be more credit constrained than others.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a big company and you walk in and say, like, look, I need $500 million in loans, but I have $10 billion in cash, the bank will say, sure, we'll give it to you. If you're a small business owner that doesn't have that kind of reserves, even if you have been in business for 20 or 30 years, the bank will be a lot more reluctant. And I think that's, I mean, if you look at exactly where I think the Obama administration, where the various agencies are putting their attention on, it is identifying the sectors that are still credit constraints. It tends to be smaller businesses. It tends to be homeowners who have jobs, and making sure that the banks are actually starting to lend rather than just simply making money with overdraft fees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was saying this the other day. Somebody in New York was like, oh, well, you can't get a loan. You have to have cash. I'm like, what, all of it? Like in a big bag with a dollar sign on it?
I'll be honest, for many people, that's exactly it. Like, you get $1 million if you have $1 million.
Wow.
And it certainly frustrates the political leadership in Washington because that's exactly was not supposed to happen. That's why we had TARP, to stabilize the banking system so that they can continue to make loans to creditworthy lenders, borrowers.
Mm-hmm. But we're in the exact
situation where Argentina was after the crisis, where Poland was after a crisis.
Don't cry for Argentina. This is all about us now.
But we're looking like a banana republic in that sense, that we've gone through a standard financial crisis, and, yeah, you get loans if you have cash.
Christian, talk to us about the housing market, because, you know, a lot of people are looking at that and going, you know, is it going to get better? How soon is it going to get better? You know, in your opinion, you know, should people sell now? Because then you think, oh, is it going to get worse, though? I mean, that's...
That's a very hard one to say. The indications on the housing market are very mixed right now, and that's just simply another way of saying we're nearing the bottom. Whether we're at the bottom and now beginning to turn around or not is impossible to say, essentially, until we're actually 6 months out and we know where we were. But certainly there are signs that are things turning around. There is more homes for sale, more stuff gets sold. especially existing homes, but at the same time, there is this inventory of foreclosed properties that banks have been sitting on, and part of it, we just don't know what banks have been doing with this stuff. We know they've been foreclosing on homeowners, but they've been holding back to some degree in some markets before they put it on the market. In some cases, they've let the homeowners stay in the homes, even though they were foreclosed on, and said, like, look, it's better to have somebody live in the home than have it totally vacant. So those kinds of things, and they happen on a massive scale. So there is these unknowns out there of how many more properties could come on the market very quickly and thereby drive down the prices.
Yep, absolutely.
And to be honest, that's the biggest unknown at this point when it comes to the housing sector.
Yep, all right. Christian, always a pleasure. Christian Weller, the fancy economist guy from the University of Massachusetts, and some other fancy place, right?
The Center for American Progress.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. That's a lot of fancy. Christian Weller, thank you, sir. See you next time.
Thank you very much.
See you there he goes. There he goes. Okay.
Can't we penalize the companies that ship our jobs overseas? I mean, that's what Kerry ran on in 2004.
Yeah.
And you know, can't we? What about NAFTA? Obama ran saying, well, he'll review NAFTA again. That was what led to all these jobs being shipped away.
Yeah.
Bring the old jobs back.
You know, John, that is the common wisdom. It's better to have someone live in your house than to leave it empty, unless, of course, you happen to pick a sloppy executive producer, Crystal Boy, who then costs you zillions of dollars in cleaning bills. Like,
zillions?
Like happened to me yesterday.
But he left the chaps behind.
My new tenants discovered the, let's just say, condition of my home.
Chaps on the clothesline.
Good morning, Jim Ward.
Good morning.
You know, Mama's having a little bit of a rough move. John Fugelsang has even a worse story. It's like a Lifetime movie. Your wife has Lyme disease.
Lyme disease. No. She was sick for a month. Remember I was here in December, God. And every time I had tales of woe and Lyme disease.
Yes, well, mostly they were tales about the woe of your social life and how...
Well, there's that, yes. But I just have a bad...
yelling at her to stop being lazy and get up.
Oh. I did. Stephanie called up one night and invited us out, and I'm like, honestly, my wife's really sick, and I don't know what's the matter. I don't know what's wrong. And it was Lyme disease. We were invited to a wedding in Texas. I couldn't go because my mom had surgery, but her cousin married into a big love scenario, into a Christian homeschooled in the woods wedding.
Oh,
and so she came back with a
she got a lovely, lovely parting gift.
A Texas bloodsucker came back home with her. And
So it's
what?
Been
hey.
Several months of malaria meds now, so it's a beautiful thing.
I had it. Wow. Last time I lived here, up in the Westchester in the woods, I got Lyme disease. And if they'd be on doxycycline, a really heavy-duty antibiotic, you can't get me in the sun.
Why do people live in the East again?
Because it's fun.
Because we're evolving over here.
Awful Lyme disease.
Yeah, because...
You feel like you're as old as I am now. All of your joints ache, and you sweat, and it's awful.
Yeah, I've been a nurse for 2.5 months now at this point. First my mom's surgery, and then Charmian's Lyme disease, so I'm enjoying it. I've wearing a candy striper outfit right now.
It's so hot.
Thank you.
Hot.
It's slimming. I can breathe.
18 minutes.
Vertical stripes, you know.
18 minutes after the hour. Right Wing World and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I am shocked and appalled.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mary in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome there.
Hey, Steph. I just had to tell you, you were so great on Larry King last night. My husband and I were talking about it on the way to work this morning. I mean, you must have drank some Carnation Instant, you know what. Because
Carnation Instant bitch, yeah.
Yes. And
I'm a big bitch on those shows, aren't I?
You're wonderful on those shows.
But no, you know what? Usually you're not. I mean, you're always great and funny, but you just took it to him last night. So please keep doing that. I mean,
I'm cranky since I moved to New York, as you know. And so... And I was not in the mood for Babe Buchanan, who I had to co-host a show with for a year.
I was going to ask you that. How did you do that? How did you co-host with her?
I, She actually, now we're good friends. I don't know why. Remember, Chris, at the Republican convention, it was a bonding kind of chick flick.
Yeah.
Well, keep doing it. Because and Mika Brzezinski this morning just took it to Rudy Giuliani. She
good.
Just,
oh, good for her.
Because, you know...
They're pissing us off. It's,
well,
it's
the best
just, you're,
they can do is say it's terror,
right.
terror. He's not using the word terror. This morning he said that about Obama, that he wasn't using the word terror enough, and she just laid into him. So keep doing it, sisters.
Thank you, baby. Thank you, Mary.
Yeah.
Crazy bitch, hello.
That's the thing. What's that?
Crazy bitch, hello.
Crazy bitch, what's wrong with you tonight? Yeah, I'm usually there for the jokes, but between Paul Bremer and then Baby Ken, I couldn't take it anymore. I'm like, I can't take it. You know, Jim, I was saying, no, you've screwed up Iraq. You don't get to say, it's, he's not handling it the right way. He did it. He's got things there enough.
Exactly. These are the people who are wrong about everything.
Yeah.
8 years wrong about everything.
Yeah, exactly.
And Giuliani failed after 1993 to fix the radios so that the police and the fire department could talk to each other.
Thank you.
Which might have been kind of important when people were in buildings that were on fire.
But you know, that's the other thing, Jim. Is like I'm going, Paul Bremer. I mean, oh, yes, that's a more effective strategy on terror. How about you attack the wrong country? You know what I mean?
So
let the guys
time.
Get away that did it and then attack an entirely different country and then screw that up beyond belief.
Let's
you know?
Lie about the people who did attack us. And Giuliani, show me who's made more money off of 9/11 than Rudy Giuliani. Show me who's profited
Larry Silverstein,
more.
But that's,
these guys should go to Ground Zero and sell bootleg T-shirts to exploit it even more than they have.
Yeah.
Larry
by the way.
Won hundreds of millions of dollars. Maybe billions.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, Rudy Giuliani, you were just saying this, John, that they must get their talking points and they're just told just to lie.
They're all just told Giuliani said this morning, we've had one domestic terror attack under Obama, none under Bush.
None?
Is the sky blue on the adulterous world in which
we inherited that from Clinton. We inherited 9/11.
Yeah, I can see how he wouldn't remember that one because he's never hardly mentioned it. Or used it in
that seems
way.
To be the Republican meme, though. That wasn't our fault. That was a Clinton thing. We inherited that.
That was a Clinton thing. And this was an Obama thing. And then the illegal invasion of Iraq, we're going to blame on the next Democrat to be president.
But check this out. This was on Larry King Live, in fact. So, as you know, conservatives, the president waited 72 hours before we hear from him. It's over 72 hours from the time of the incident, Karl Rove said. By the way, his boss waited 6 days after the shoe bomber. Mm-hmm. But, so... Now, on CNN's Larry King, this was the night before last, obviously, Giuliani said Obama responded 10 days too late. Like, they're, what? What? When King pointed out that President Bush took 6 days in a similar incident, Giuliani responded, well, 6 days is less than 10. And he also said, wait for
what?
This, Jim.
What?
He said he believed that 6 days, that was before the September 11th attack.
Oh, God. These people don't have calendars.
For those of you,
they're
shoe bombing
the
was 3
machine.
Months after 9/11. It's like, what?
It's time to play liar or dope.
I know.
They're just trying to confuse people. They think it's been long enough that people won't remember. They won't
exactly.
know.
I know.
They're going
for that
73% that thought Saddam Hussein was behind 9/11.
Right.
They're going for American ignorance.
Exactly. Rudy Giuliani on record is praising George Bush on prosecuting the shoe bomber criminally. That's ridiculous.
Yes,
I didn't
know. Totally different now. That was me. That was the bloody doodly Balani.
That was him.
He looks just like me. He's an imposter. He's one of my lookalikes.
I mean, anybody who remembers Giuliani's comb over knows his grasp on reality is tenuous at best.
All right. Oh, boy. As you know, I told the story yesterday. While the Christmas Day bombing was going on, I was just mentioning to you I was visiting old friends in Westchester.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a small terrier type dog that bites you when you make toast.
Ah.
Because, you know, they get a little... Do we have that dino bark, Chris? There's something about the ding that makes the, I don't know... And the dog did. She went and said, Molly, she said, you can make toast, but Molly will bite you. And it actually was absolutely true. So I was fighting essentially my own Warren Terriers. I went that far.
There was a pot of gold at the end of that comedy.
That was a really long way to go for that punchline.
Wow. What's around the bend? It's true. And first off, this Nigerian terrorist, if he had a decent astrologer, he would have known you don't try to use a homemade bomb when
Mercury's
in
retrograde.
I could have told him that. Nobody listened to me, but...
things don't work then. That's right.
And I don't know what they're going to do, because if you try and check the underwear of every man flying out of Amsterdam, the Dutch economy will collapse, people. And if he really did it because he hated freedom, he would have stayed in Amsterdam and blown it up there.
Yeah.
By the way, our friend Rick Overton, I believe he talks about in his act some things that he's, you know, taken home in his underpants from Amsterdam.
Indeed. If you'd like to hear Rick Overton's act, watch Robin Williams' live special.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. The president yesterday in the press conference on the terrorist incident.
All of these agencies and their leaders are responsible for implementing these reforms, and all will be held accountable if they don't.
Wow, what's that cool music behind him? He had heavy metal at his press conference?
Is that Peter Gabriel digging in the dirt? What was that? I like that.
Yeah, he should have theme music every time he speaks. I think it makes it more...
That was awesome.
Exciting.
That was like one of the Operation Commando Eagle or something.
Operation Commando Eagle. It's an eagle without underpants.
Cool. Cool. Rock on. All right. Gee, I wonder if he had a mean enough look on his face for the right wing. I thought so.
He was angry last night. Yes. There was something going on we don't know about.
Yeah. 29 minutes after the hour. Back with more of all that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, you need more Chardonnay and better Chardonnay.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. As we continue about the president's press conference yesterday, he was mad.
I am less interested in passing out blame than I am in learning from and correcting these mistakes to make us safer. For ultimately, the buck stops with me. As president, I have a solemn responsibility to protect our nation and our people. And when the system fails, it is my responsibility.
So wow.
Blow up Yemen to make us safer.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was saying last night on Larry King. I'm like, you know, this is how, this makes no sense the way they keep talking about how you're supposed to, you know, it's a war. It's not a criminal. It's like, really? Are we going to bomb Yemen now?
Yeah. And the irony is that Yemen backwards is enemy. Why?
But, interesting.
You know, if all we're doing is inspiring new terrorist folks, we really should start calling it the war on preventing terror.
Exactly.
Terrorism is not a problem. It's a symptom of a problem.
Right.
And this is what we do in this country. We fight the symptoms, not the source.
And every time we blow up civilians, we create new terrorists.
Absolutely.
Amen. Mm-hmm. This guy is 23 years old. This guy was a kid when 9/11 happened.
I thought he was 16 or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. This guy has been inspired by America's deeds. Mm-hmm. And all we're doing is teaching a new... Look, our hope, our only hope is the moderate Muslims. Al-Qaeda doesn't hate us as much as they hate moderate
right.
Muslims. And
yep.
those are the people we have to be in business with to squash these knuckleheaded, backwards,
exactly.
woman-hating, international, independent criminals. And we have to work with the moderates, and we're not. We're making the Al-Qaedas look good.
And every time we get two bad guys, I mean, we kill eight potential allies, or wound them. And
every time our well-intentioned troops are sent in to kick the wrong door down, there's
yeah.
five kids in that house who just voted for bin Laden.
We have to burn the village in order to save it. Vietnam.
We've been talking about this all morning, but I guess it shouldn't surprise us, but it's just so blatant. You've heard about this, what Gingrich was saying, that Pete Hoekstra, the Republican who's running
yeah.
for governor in Michigan, began hours after this, you know, this event on Christmas began politicizing this. He baselessly claimed that the president had not paid enough attention to Yemen, even tried to raise campaign funds off the incident. Gee,
wow.
Imagine how much he could have made, Jim, if people had actually died.
Frankly,
wouldn't that have been
great?
All right,
I wish I had succeeded. Then I'd be golden. I'd be president already, frankly. Frankly, what's the point of an election, frankly?
Yeah, Gingrich said on Fox the failed terror attack was good for Hoekstra, even adding it was probably the
yeah.
reason the Democratic candidate that was running dropped out of the race. He said, frankly, I think Pete Hoekstra is putting together such a good campaign, has gotten such a boost out of having
yeah.
been the intelligence, blah, blah.
Frankly.
Reminds me when Netanyahu said 9/11 was good for Israel. He frantically
mm-hmm.
backtracked afterwards,
yeah.
but the point was made. And he was right in a way. I mean, cause
these guys want war. War is good for business, and
uh-huh.
this is a male problem. Every civilization that's ever existed, it's had males who thought you solve problems through war.
The Democrat that dropped out of the race, so here's what Gingrich said. I think part of why Lieutenant Governor Cherry probably dropped out, he's faced with a president who clearly couldn't have defended Detroit.
What? What the hell?
Because that's what he was running as. He would like the Detroit destroyed. Yeah, right.
It's too bad Detroit wasn't destroyed. It's pretty much a wreck anyway. What's the point, frankly?
Yeah, but, you know what? And Obama tries to defend Detroit with a bailout, and Gingrich gets furious.
Yeah. You know, Jim, you had mentioned this a lot during the campaign. McCain's guy, remember Charlie Black, talked about the assassination of Benazir Bhutto. He said, oh, that's unfortunate, but... There's always a sunny side for the Republicans. He said his McCain's knowledge and ability to talk about it reemphasized that this is the guy who's ready to be commander-in-chief, and it helped us.
Wow.
And then, Black, when they raised the issue with him, he said about another terrorist attack on U.S. soil, he said certainly it would be a big advantage to him.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be great for John McCain.
Cheney can't wait. Cheney
think of those defense
wait.
Stocks that'll go sky high.
Think of the no-bid contracts, you capitalists.
Yeah.
You know, and they've been telling us for years, and again, this underpants bomber is proof that the Republicans were wrong about everything, folks, because they're the ones been telling us we have to fight them over there so we don't fight them over here.
Yeah.
The reality is, if you keep blowing them up over there, they're
going
to blow
here.
Themselves up over here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. The president yesterday.
Over the past 2 weeks, we've been reminded again of the challenge we face in protecting our country against a foe that is bent on our destruction. And while passions and politics can often obscure the hard work before us, let's be clear about what this moment demands. We are at war. We are at war against Al-Qaeda.
Gee, he said war.
Actually, we haven't declared war since 1941.
You can't declare war on a gelatinous sort of...
The Constitution says only Congress can declare war.
That's right.
And Congress said, Bush, do what you want.
Right.
That's not war.
No,
but
also, it's like declaring war on...
bad vibes.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we do that?
Or declaring war on intellectual property. You know,
on people that harsh our buzz.
Yeah, you're not going to out-thug these people, folks.
Yeah. You were saying about, I mean, I think the president yesterday, I mean, you're right, there was a demeanor. If I think he's not just pissed this happened, I do really think he's pissed how this is being politicized. Because I'm sorry, I'm not saying Democrats are perfect, but remember the whole, we all have to come together after 9/11. We all have to support the president. After the shoe bomber, nobody on our side, you know, back then was saying any, and I think he's justifiably pissed.
But you understand that America only means the right wing of the Republican Party. That's America. If you criticize that president, if you criticize Bush, you hate America.
And
if you criticize the commander-in-chief during wartime, you hate America. Now, if you criticize the commander-in-chief during wartime, you're a patriot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And call them out on their lies.
When they did insist that we all support the president and we followed their lead, that was their... They're quietly behind their back saying, pussies. You know, that's a sign of weakness to them.
Right. Yeah. But you know what? I love Obama, but I'm sorry. I'm not going to make the mistake that our Republican brothers and sisters did of drinking the Kool-Aid and putting blind loyalty over ideology.
Right.
When we are propping up a confirmed corrupt leader in Afghanistan that the people hate, we don't get to ask why the Afghanistan people don't like us.
Don't you remember that, Jim, that like sort of cold chill? That it felt like over the country after 9/11. I remember in my mind, I was thinking, "What? How the hell did this happen? What the, you know?" But it was just like, "Shh, don't need to. We're all just have to be Americans now.
Don't ask questions. Don't."
I was kind of like, "What the?
We don't need an investigation.
They let it happen."
Shut up.
They let it happen. Listen, they had to go 10 years without a perpetual enemy to have perpetual war against.
Growing up,
it was always communism. Oh, the communists are going to come get us.
Right.
They're going to take over. Then the wall falls. We find out Russia's a second world economy with people online for bread. These are the guys you've been scaring us with?
Exactly. And that's when we started the Iraq War.
Exactly.
We told Hussein, go ahead. Go attack those guys.
Terror is the new communism. It's perpetual war because it's business.
I remember feeling literally, I was like, oh, no. George Bush is president. But then your next thought is, oh, God, I hope he does okay because, you know, we're all in this together. But I'm just saying there is not a shred of that thought on their side about President Obama now.
Look, those guys let 9/11 happen. They knew bin Laden was coming, and Bush went on vacation for 6 weeks.
Well, and Cheney, they changed the rules once they got into office. Before that, the Air Force automatically scrambled when planes went off course and then required presidential authorization to shoot down. They changed it so that they needed to consult with the executive branch just to even get off the ground.
I don't hear the liberal media asking, why wouldn't Bush and Cheney agree to testify before the 9/11 Commission under oath?
What are they hiding?
Exactly. I don't hear the liberal media asking these questions. And you know what, folks? If we make the same mistake the Republicans did and get behind the leader blindly, then we deserve exactly what happens to us. Obama's a good man. He's a decent man. But they work for us. And I love him, but he works for us. And we have to keep on his case, and the base has to let him know what they will and will not stand for.
The president yesterday at the press conference.
We knew that they sought to strike the United States and that they were recruiting operatives to do so. The intelligence community did not aggressively follow up on and prioritize particular streams of intelligence related to a possible attack against the homeland.
I think, you know, that much is true, but what I don't get is the right is basically saying, no, this happened just because of the president's whole philosophy toward terror and the way he talks about it. It's like,
yeah, they attacked us because they hate Jersey Shore. That's why they attacked us.
Well,
yeah.
I don't blame them.
Yeah, I know.
Chris Louise.
That's why they hate us, folks. Mike, it's Mike the Situation and his spray tan the saturation. That's why they hate us.
No, they hate us because of Snooki. That's why.
Yeah, normally, I'm normally against smacking a woman on television, but that's Snooki. And that's,
John Fugelson.
No, I'm sorry. I grew up with that. And
yeah,
we have to contain the Jersey Shore and have a preemptive strike against it.
Oh, the president again yesterday.
We are at war. We are at war against Al-Qaeda, a far-reaching network of violence and hatred that attacked us on 9/11, that killed nearly 3,000 innocent people, and that is plotting to strike us again. And we will do whatever it takes to defeat them.
Frankly, I don't understand why the president doesn't say we're at war with Al-Qaeda and the terrorists. He hasn't said it. Not once, frankly.
He never says the word.
That's why I should be president immediately, frankly.
Yeah, you know what? We could just devote our energy to getting a Middle East peace agreement between the Israelis and Palestinians and watch this problem go away.
Yeah.
But yeah, come on. You don't get to blow stuff up that way.
Or stop using so much freaking oil and use some 21st century technology instead of 19th.
So the terrorists that we're trying to fight are in Pakistan and Yemen, and we're in Afghanistan and Iraq. We have Iran surrounded, but otherwise, I'll tell you, man, unless the aliens are in the Middle East and that's why we're really there, I don't get it.
We need to invade Burkina Faso, clearly.
That's exactly the strategy, Jim. Thank God we have a clear thinker on our staff.
Now, this whole thing about the alphabet thing, the misspelling of his name, is a little bizarre to me. Now, I know Nigeria uses a version of the Latin alphabet like we do. But just in general, I mean, Arabic names are transliterated from the Arabic. It's always an approximation. So, of course, there are going to be misspellings. Can't they just standardize a spelling of Muhammad?
You know, one would think. Yes. Jim, I was saying earlier to John that, you know, he was pointing out the other thing, among things that seem suspicious about this whole thing, isn't Al-Qaeda smart enough at this point? Hasn't there been enough publicity that you don't buy a ticket with cash one way and not take a bag?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
that
don't they
be,
know those are the red flags?
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
no, because they're knuckleheads. We're fighting morons. This guy's burned his testicles off. These are people we're at war with. It's like Mo, Larry, and Curly.
Chris said something really unfair to terrorists earlier. I mean, yes, they're bloodthirsty. Yes, they're killers. But you said they don't have very good credit.
They
and
can't
that
have very
really
good credit.
Mean.
So they can't buy a ticket with a credit card.
That's true.
You know,
that's painting with a broad brush. You don't know every terrorist has a... Have you done the Hyperion test on every... to check the credit rating of every terrorist? You don't know. How dare you? Are they bloodthirsty killers? Yes. Do they have bad credit? We don't know.
Bin Laden
sure.
would have a great credit rating with his family.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, but I think his family has disowned him now.
Well,
so, you know, he has no family ties anymore.
All right. 40.
He's never worn ties, I'm pretty sure.
I just love them going online and doing that credit rating thing.
Yeah.
Oh, darn it. I have to pay cash again.
My credit rating is in the low 500s. What am I going to do?
FreeCreditReport.com. He'll appear in one of those commercials.
I don't want to be serving iced tea for some tourists.
I am living in a cave wearing the same robe.
Wearing a pirate hat.
I'm not very good at playing guitar. I do not want to serve iced tea to tourists.
Terrorist recruitment. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Dead.
Good. Here's a pizza for you.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Facts with Slide Whistle. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. We are knee-deep in Fridays with Fuglesang.
That's right.
A jumbo three-hour version. We now go to John's ancestral homeland of Long Island. Mary, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, Steph. How you doing?
How things on Long Island?
Thank you. Here we are on Long Island, the water of Long Island. Listen, Bush and Cheney had totally been against a 9/11 commission. Remember that?
Yep.
This is the thing. Republicans depend on people having short memories, okay? So they think they can lie and just, you know, go. And people like anyone on CNN has got to hold them to account because people think CNN is the middle, okay?
Yeah, I mean, that makes common sense, doesn't it, Lynette? You're not afraid of having something investigated if you got nothing to hide.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. And then of course, the testimony that you had just referenced, that they had to be together behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. They couldn't be sworn. I mean, people don't question this. You know, people aren't as stupid as you think. You know, here on Long Island, you'd be surprised. People have some discernment and really can see beyond this appearance. And, yeah, there's a lot. There's Tea Party people here, but they don't really carry a majority at all. People are just too smart, and they see right through this BS. Mm-hmm. And it's a projection, the same thing that Republicans have always been guilty of. They project on, like, you know, weak on defense. This is the biggest load of crap. And, and they don't know how to counter the fact that the president is really, really popular, and he is. You have your gripes. We all, you know, as Democrats, but look, there's no comparison. All we have to do is say, okay, what's your alternative? Are you really going to vote Republican in the next election? Think about it.
Yep, absolutely. You know, Mary, it's funny you say that because I don't know who the guy was I was on Larry King with, but you know what else I'm getting sick of is wimpy liberals that don't stand up for the president. Oh, well, you're right about that. I know, when you probably didn't do that.
But you're saying you're putting wimpy liberals on cable news? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm like, oh, come on. Man up.
If more women.
If more
women had thoughts like you, I never would have left Long Island. You make the accent sexy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love New York, because that's a load of crap.
That's Long Island.
I'm picturing Marissa Tomei. Yeah, you blend. I would just listen to what she's saying, because I love listening to her talk.
And she makes a good point. Jim Ward and I will now do an impromptu skit. Jim is fairly recently married. For instance, Jim, if your lovely wife, Janiqua, wanted to see something that was in a specific drawer, let's say, and you had nothing to hide... Jim, what's in that drawer right there? Open that drawer. I want to see what's in there. I want to see what do you have? Seeing you're supposed to say no.
It's radioactive waste.
That's not porn, right? Is that porn?
No.
What's in that drawer?
No, it's highly toxic. I'm holding it for a guy.
With a thing.
Because
if you have nothing to hide, you just don't have to.
No, don't look in there. No. No, it's nothing to worry about. No. It's confidential.
Jim doesn't.
Jim, this is Brett Hume. You need to come to Jesus.
Yeah.
Jim doesn't keep his porn in a drawer.
No, that's crazy.
I don't know. I'm like, you know, me with technology. I don't know. All right, Lynette in Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, you guys. Yeah, I love the way John Fuglesang just puts things together. He helps me to understand this whole thing. And my comment was...
I know. He's like a mental, like a Rector set, isn't he? He puts the whole piece together.
Oh, thank you so much. That's very, very kind of you. Thank you.
Like, in fact, one of my favorite phrases you said, I'm sorry this wasn't the reason I called, but I just was thinking as I'm listening to you, God forgive us our trespasses as we legally inject those who trespass.
Penalty Christian argument? Yeah, well,
yeah,
you know...
I had to pull over to the side of the road to write that one down.
He's a king of the zingers.
Oh, my God. Well, the reason I have a couple of comments about airport security. Remember the episode of South Park with the underpants gnomes where they would come in and steal people's underwear? I'm thinking maybe...
Took over the world.
Yeah, I was thinking could maybe airport security consider this use, you
underpants
know, for,
gnomes.
Possibly. And the other thing I wanted to say was my roommate just recently went to Jerusalem, and he absolutely really liked their security because it's not all this. He didn't have to take anything off. He was just questioned. They just asked questions.
Yeah, well, he's not Palestinian.
But there's that. But they're trained.
First question.
But they are trained in Israel to look for cues. Just psychological,
right.
You know, giveaways.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, listen, one of my best friends was in the Israeli army, and it's just terrifying answering an everyday question.
Yeah.
I just start sweating immediately. All right, let's see.
Well, thanks, Lynette. That was very nice.
Oh, my God. In fact, Chris, I think I told you the story. I was on a flight with her once, and it was after 9-11,
mm-hmm.
and somebody had let their kid, they let the flight attendant let the kid go see the cockpit and the pilot.
Oh,
yeah.
She
went off. She's like, are you kidding me? This would never happen on LL. Close that cockpit door.
Yeah, he's got a diaper bomb.
Oh. Exactly. All right.
He looks Palestinian anyway.
I think it's Joanne in D.C. Is that you?
She is gone, unfortunately.
Okay. I'm having a hard time reading my own scribble. Okay. Dickie in Boston. Hello.
Ghost.
Hello.
Jiggles?
What's that?
Is this Jiggles?
Jiggles, yes.
Jiggles.
Yes, this is Jiggles. Thank you.
Jiggle Mama.
You sounded like my Subway announcer for a moment. Yes, Dickie, go ahead.
Okay, all right. Well, see, now I feel weird because your producer said, okay, Dickie, no, don't miss your cue. And I was like, all right, I promise.
Well, there you go.
She will call you back and give you an earful, but all right, go ahead.
Give me a reaming. Okay, first of all, I'm going to riff on this new generation of extremists here. You see the cover of Newsweek? It says the children of Bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? We get these five clowns stumbling around Pakistan, going up to people, asking them, hey, you know where I can find a terrorist camp? And then we get this kid that succeeds only at lighting his crotch on fire. What is this, open mic night at the Club Jihad?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Dickie. That's funny, open mic night at Club Jihad.
Ran a knife to a gunfight.
I mean, you got to think about that. Is that the best they can do, Jim? That's it?
That's the best they've done recently. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing smells to me. I'm not buying it.
Yeah. That one just occurred. Well, you had the best point in that is that no guy's going to offer to have his blown off.
No.
But secondly, I just don't understand how if they know those are the biggest red flags, why they would continue to have people buy a ticket one way with cash, you know, no bag.
Exactly. That's
how easy is that to fix?
That's radical profiling. You know, I have no full body cavity searches for anybody flying one way with no bags.
Paying cash.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I know how to get a little action. Well, okay.
Plenty for cavity searches. That'd be lonely.
Oh, no, it's higher. Must be in there somewhere. All right, 58.
No, wrong cavity.
Oh.
That's right, drug mules. If you wear ladies' underwear, they won't give you a cavity search because they'll think you might like it.
Slower. No, it's in there. It's in there higher.
Ooh.
Okay, 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Fridays with Fuglesang and John Fuglesang, comedian extraordinaire, live in studio with us.
Indeed I am, very much alive. I'm here to promote my new screenplay, Invictus 2. In this film, Obama tries to unite America by getting black folks to care about NASCAR. Check it out.
Oh, come on, everybody. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Carbonite. Carbonite Online Backup. It's a must for my computer. Don't wait. I'm telling you, back up your computer today for a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. Visit Carbonite.com. Be sure to use the offer code Stephanie. We loves us some Carbonite here at the Stephanie Miller Show.
Lando Calrissian says your files will be in perfect hibernation in this Carbonite. That's for the geeks.
Carbonite. Why did it have to be Carbonite?
I still have an evil router problem at my house. My the computer guy came, and now I can't get online at all, John Fuglesang.
Still?
Yes, you non-compete it for me.
They are evil routers, and Stephanie refuses to admit she's at war with them.
Exactly.
Is your monitor plugged into your... never mind.
Yeah, it's plugged in, Jim.
Did you reboot your router?
Yes.
Did you reroute your booter, more importantly?
Wrong. Okay, thank you, Jim. There's the problem there.
We need poppers for that.
Okay. Yeah.
By the way, is it just me or is Britt Humes lecturing about Christianity sort of like Jessica Simpson lecturing about good acting?
Yes. By the way, Julie in Seattle writes about our good friend Glenn Beck. Staff, with that ratty chalkboard and the battered old library books he piles up from time to time to show how well-read he is, this show is like watching a jumpy substitute teacher with a wandering eye on brown acid take over your high school civics class.
If Glenn Beck were any more unbalanced, he'd be Cubist.
Oh, heavens. As I mentioned, over the holidays, I was fighting a war on terriers because my friend terrier bites you if you make toast. Okay. Julie also sends along this story. You know, they stole this idea from me, Chris, me and Pet Airways. You remember Max and Fred flew here to New York? They took all rescue dogs on the Chicago to L.A., now Virgin Airlines, has stolen our act. Mama, look, 15 yappy, bug-eyed canine refugees from the rat pup glut in California. 15 chihuahuas.
But did they pay for the tickets with cash?
Yeah, one way. Caused by the tiny neglected dog in your purse fad, inspired by Paris Hilton, had been flown by Virgin Airlines out to New York to be adopted. More than a dozen chihuahuas, from San Francisco are flying in style to the new homes. They flew in the main cabin of Virgin Airlines to New York, where they will find new homes. It's all Paris Hilton's fault.
Did they request Taco Bell?
Purse thing.
You get a Taco Bell.
Exactly.
Yo quiero, all right. Coach Romeo. Here, lizard.
All right. Anyway, so we've all been... by the way, Chris, didn't someone yesterday write and say, we're sick of hearing you whine?
Yes.
And I'm like, look, that's radio. It's broadcast whining. That's what it is. Get used to it.
Well, if you move back here, you won't whine anymore.
Oh.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, because there's so many cultural advantages to living in L.A. Well, there's no long lines at the bookstores.
You can turn right in a red light.
Yes, you can turn right at a red light here.
I know. I found myself here. I'm like, why can't I turn? That's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway, but my point being that we have been doing. I've been taking a lot of Carnation Instant Bitch, which I guess somebody said makes me better on Larry King Live, because I'm just a big bitch to everybody.
You're just adapting to New York.
What's that?
You're just adapting to New York.
Exactly.
You blend.
Yeah. Exactly. I will be on the Ed Schultz show on MSNBC tonight and on Monday night. I will be the big fat bitch, so look for me. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. You know what? I don't often, you know, when we're all caught up in all the problems of our lives, like we've been talking about, John, during the break, I just have to read this letter because it made me feel a million times better. And I realized that there's people with real problems out there. But could I have some touching music? Because this was really... Rebecca sent this along. Not sure this woman's name. She didn't sign a name. She signs it Wife of Robbie. Steph, I'm writing today to let you know my husband, a faithful listener to the Stephanie Miller Show, passed away on the 28th of December. He really looked forward to listening to the show every morning as his ears were his only means of communicating with the world. My husband told me that your morning show was what kept him in touch with the goings-on of the world. Your show provided him with laughter and meaning. In addition to becoming blind just a few years ago, he suffered with many other physical crosses. In our 31 years of life together, I never heard him speak so fondly of any radio show like the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm going to cry. Thank you for providing him with joy every morning. I will continue to listen to your show in Robert's Place. Thank you so much. Of Robbie.
God bless Robbie.
God bless him. God bless her.
That was lovely.
But, you know, I was joking about hitting my eye on the thing. You know, here's a guy that was blind and had a million things going on. And
yeah,
blind.
And you trivialize the suffering of others, and that's what you do.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
That's your bag.
Thank you, John.
At least a good person got to have their words on your show.
Yes. Anyway, thank you, Wife of Robbie. That was very kind of you to write. All right. Shirley in Detroit.
Oh, Shirley is gone, unfortunately. She couldn't hold on.
Oh, Shirley, you must be joking.
Don't call me Shirley.
There's a panic in Detroit, apparently.
All right. Brandon in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
How's it going, Steph? Thank you so much for taking my call. Hey, I wanted to make two quick comments. My first comment is I couldn't agree with you more on the Bush thing, and I don't agree with you on very many things at all, but I agree. If you are guilty, you're going to be more prone to hide things, and I think you should be able to investigate every single person in office, especially with something serious like that. It doesn't matter what the party is. I could care less. Mm-hmm. And my second point is I'm an investor, and I also have a father that works out in the oil field, so I know a little bit about it. And you guys were talking about different types of energy and how we're in Iraq and different places for oil. And I couldn't agree more. I think it's a complete disaster. I think it's a shame that we're losing thousands of people over there because of it. But I want to say that the reason we're not using renewable energy and different things like that in this country is because we don't have – it's not a good enough or a useful investment yet. We're working on it. It's slowly working that way, but we're not there yet. But I would ask you is I
well, don't you have to? What's the word I'm looking for? Invest in order for that to make things a reality?
There's tons of businessmen. I'm one of them. There's tons of us that are investing in it and constantly trying to make it better. I mean, the joy of having a free market, or what's barely a free market now, but still, the joy of having a free market is I invest in something like that, so that way in the long run I can end up making way more money than I invested in this.
Well, how is it that we barely have a free market now?
were regulated out of, I mean, there's hardly any free market left in this system. When,
are you kidding me?
That's what caused this meltdown, is the...
too much regulation.
Too much regulation.
Unfair
free market.
Only we had more greed.
Yeah.
Where you guys and I disagree is that I agree that there's scumbags out there, but you got to let them crash. That's the difference.
But they can't take down the entire American economy.
Yeah, I was just
going to
say, we did,
the
and they took us all with
they
them.
They
took
the world economy down almost.
Yeah, it's like we were... It's like someone's drowning, and they're just like, "Oh, can we help you?"
He was right. You know, if they're too big to fail, they're too big to exist. Yeah, let them go.
Exactly.
But we can't blame just the Republicans for that. It was under Clinton that Glass-Steagall was repealed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's why I had to tell George Bailey that Reagan and Clinton deregulated Mr. Potter, and Bush cut his taxes, and Obama bailed him out.
All right.
And that's the problem.
You're nothing but a warped, frustrated old man, Mr. Cheney. Kick you right in the ass.
Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Oh, well, how did I know that Bill O'Reilly wouldn't be supportive of whatever the president said yesterday?
There was absolutely nothing new in his presentation today. America remains on the defensive in the war on terror. We're not taking the fight to the enemy, with the exception of the drone attacks directed by the CIA. President, once again, went out of his way to state that most Muslims do not support al-Qaeda.
Like Bush
I think
did.
We all know that by now, and that the terrorists will be defeated by bringing the world together against them.
Oh, so the only thing he's a fan of is where civilians are killed.
Exactly.
In addition,
kill more civilians, it'll make them like us.
How are we not taking the war to the enemy? We're blowing stuff up in several different countries now.
We're not taking the war to the enemy because the enemy's in Pakistan and we're afraid to go there.
Ah.
No.
Because they're our allies.
Yes. He said the words that should not be spoken.
Because the bribes aren't working these days.
O'Reilly and the Foxpert, Colonel Ralph Peters.
I want President Obama to toughen up. That's what
Shut
I want.
You take out the target, you take out the target, you can hit. But yes, we all want Obama to realize that this is a war.
What? Well, then Congress needs to declare war.
Declare war.
On whom?
Declare war on whom? I want Obama to toughen up? What does that mean? Let's bomb another country unnecessarily.
He's not killing enough people. Kill everybody in the rest of the world, and then we'll see if he's tough enough.
No, he's not a man like me. I'm a man. Bill O'Reilly's a man.
Oh, he's a man.
Bill O'Reilly. Was a man, yes, a big man. With an eye like an eagle and as tall as a mountain was he.
I know when I served in combat that... what?
No, he didn't.
Okay, Charles Krauthammer on the Ripper.
Talking about not connecting the dots, the administration has little control over what happens before a terror attack, but it had total control over what happened afterwards, and it blew it.
Blew what?
How so?
What?
Why?
They did a review, found out what's wrong, ordered, changes.
Because a European tackled him?
Seriously, can you believe no one was asking questions after 9/11 about a slaughter of 3,000 Americans? And this is like one guy that had a
George
bomb
Bush
that fizzled in his pants?
George Bush came out and lied, said he saw the first plane hit the World Trade Center on a TV screen before he walked in to speak to the kids.
It wasn't
we all
on
know
TV.
The first plane footage didn't surface till days later, and no one asked about it. These guys lie.
Fred Thompson. Oh, Fred Hornleghorn is back.
Yeah, he grew a beard. It's really disturbing.
We have a president who simply does not acknowledge, I don't think, the nature of the threat that we face and the nature of the terrorists and their operation. He says the right thing now because he gets in trouble when he doesn't, and he expresses his true feelings about these people. He thinks that his goodwill and his good intentions can overcome this religious fanaticism that's going on around the world.
We're talking about the
Christian
right
exactly now. What the president said. Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're reporting so we can decide. You know, Fred Thompson, I will say, if he runs again, he's already been endorsed by Ambien, and that's a good thing.
I think he had to take a nap after. That was a pretty long sentence for him.
I'm pretty tired. I think I'll go home now.
This thing will get out of control, and it'll get out of control quickly, and we'll all be lucky to live through it.
I may not be a smart man, Jenny, but I know what exploiting 9/11 is.
Yeah.
All right. Hannity on the health care meeting.
Democrats appear to be moving forward with their plans to hold closed-door meetings to merge the House and Senate health bills. Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi remain unfazed by criticism from Republicans who have called on them to hold public negotiations and then put them on C-SPAN. After all, that was something Barack Obama repeatedly promised to you, the American people, on the campaign trail.
Barack Obama's not in the Congress.
Yes.
And how are those Cheney energy meeting records coming along?
Yeah, how were those televised hearings? Oh, yeah, that's right.
When Cheney sat down with oil companies to divide up Iraq before we decided we had to go there, those meetings?
Yeah, those are still secret.
They televised all of those.
The Enron guys in the room.
Aha, yeah, thank you.
Exactly.
All right.
I'm going to steal Hannity's Fruity Pebbles again.
All right, that's a Fred Flintstone joke. Okay, that's it for Right Wing World. 18 minutes after the hour, right back with Celebrity Stack and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's the life of the Democratic Party. Ignore the lampshade. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Bernard, my trucker friend in Arkansas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Bernard, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, baby. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, I want to paint one quick picture just to let you know that racism is still alive in America. This is how the president is getting treated. Have you ever seen the movie Tuskegee Airmen?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen the movie, but I know of it. Yeah.
Okay, there's a reference in that movie where he tells him, he says, you give us a fixed hand and then you wonder why we can't win. Okay, look at what they did with Bush. All of the mistakes he made, nobody pointed out nothing. Now, Barack Obama is crossing his T's and dotting his I's, but he's still getting flack from all around. It's like he can't win. And it, even statements have been said that this will happen and that way. And these people who are saying it, look at who they are. Listen at how they talk. Obvious racism is something that is quote unquote politically incorrect and therefore it's not looked upon. But the obvious is what goes on a daily basis.
Bernard, this was what was making me so incredibly bitchy last night on Larry King Live. Is these people seriously have no grounds to talk about anything? The worst security failure in our history happened on their watch. And then they got us into a completely unnecessary war that had nothing to do with it. And they're saying, this is how you should be prosecuting a war on terror. It's like, what? What do you know? Like,
I disagree that it's about racism, Bernard, because they would have been just as hard on Bill Clinton or any Caucasian Democrat in office.
Oh, he had to...
We lost him?
Yeah, he had to take his ears off.
Oh, well. You know, I point out, it's not racism, it's tribalism. Okay, Republicans have no problem with black folks if they dress, talk, and vote just like us. Mm-hmm. This is about someone who's the other, and they're being no more horrible to him than they were to Bill Clinton. Let's remember that.
George in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good.
Hi, George.
How are you?
Good.
It's great to talk to you.
You too. Go ahead.
Well, you know what? I wanted to point out a couple things to you. You know, the person, I don't know which gentleman it was in the studio there, he said that we didn't get the pictures of the first plane crash into the building for several days after.
No, we didn't.
He said George Bush had said he saw the first plane hit the tower, and that
on television.
Yes,
and
it didn't,
on TV.
The morning of 9/11. It did not
Why
exist
Why does that
yet?
Level of minutia matter?
Because he
we
lied.
Knew that the accident happened.
It's a lie.
It's a lie he told on camera, and the liberal media didn't say anything about it. Bush got a pass. Bush could lie about 9/11, and no one cared.
Everybody was jumping all over him for several years. I don't remember him getting a pass.
Bush had a pass for the first 4 years.
For a long time.
Yes, he did.
All right. All right, George, thank you for calling. The gentleman in the studio, there's so many of you, it's like Fleet Week in here. This
gentlemen,
week.
We are not.
Whatever.
How dare you call me
gentlemen?
That, sir? I'm a thug, thank you very much.
David in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Dave.
Guys, I'm a big fan, love the show. And to that guy's last question, you know, Bush repeated that lie. He said that more than once.
Yeah.
And while
yeah.
at first glance it looks like minutia, why was he purposely lying two or three times? That's more than minutia. That's a purposeful lie. What's going on there? That's why it's important. But the main reason I called was to speak to another caller who was talking about renewable energy and why we don't have the green jobs yet and blah, blah, blah. And I'm kind of a student of this subject. I've been to some great industry conferences on renewable energy in the last couple of years. Here's where we're at. There's one and only one missing ingredient, That is policy. We're the only industrialized nation without an energy policy. And once we get that, it stabilizes the investment. Then...
Yeah, well, you watch. That's up next in Congress, and you watch the Republicans stonewall that as well.
Well, also, we have to build those turbines in this country. We're buying wind turbines from China and, put the jobs here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, John, I want to take issue with one thing you said. I do think race is an element. I don't think it's all of it.
Totally an element.
With Obama, because I'm just saying, when this guy says the Bush thing get a pass, oh, my God.
Bush
it
had
wasn't
a pass
just
for
after
years.
9/11. You remember the cheerleading by the media, the liberal media, in the run-up to the war in Iraq.
Democrats gave Bush a pass themselves. There were few Democrats who stood up to Bush for the first term.
And that's not a hard question to ask. What does Iraq have to do with 9/11? And they just didn't ask it in any meaningful way.
That's why they took the phrase war on terror. It's like war on communism. It means we can invade any country we want that supports communist ideals.
Yeah.
The same with terrorism. It's a blanket term that lets you do whatever you want to do.
No, I'm just saying there is no question there is an incredible double standard on the president's treatment. And I don't think you're right. All of it's based on race, but certainly a segment is.
There's a segment of the
right wing in this country
absolutely.
That is blatantly racist.
There are folks in the right wing that hate black folks. No doubt about it, but I think that we do ourselves a disservice by crying racism when it's just garden variety tribalism and douchebaggery.
It's douchebaggery.
My favorite game is racist or douche, and you got to be careful.
Chris in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey,
good
Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, we're enjoying the weather out here. Hope you're tolerating it.
Shush. Shush.
Yeah, we're evolving out here.
What I wanted to call about was, for some reason, listening to you this morning brought back a memory. And when the shoe bomber did the shoe attempted bomb with the shoes, and they started making us take off all the shoes, and I remember thinking, good Lord, what are they going to make us do next? I think there's just like a bunch of people in a room somewhere going, what can we make them take off next? And I'm like, somewhere there's going to be underwear. So,
yep.
It's just prophetic.
Well, you know what? That probably some terrorists are sitting in their cave laughing their ass off going, now we're going to make everybody take their underwear off now.
What can we make them do next? Oh, my gosh, this is so much fun. I don't think they're trying to blow up planes. I think they're just trying to, figure out what they can make us do next.
Exactly.
Maybe it's a plot by Chuck Berry. I don't know.
Thank you. All right. See, and I've already outsmarted the terrorists because, as you know, I don't wear underwear.
I know that, my commando girl.
29 minutes after the hour. Back with Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Makes me feel like a kid again.
Okay, let me get this straight. So Jalen is going back to late night, Ed Schultz to the Senate. Hang on, I'm drawing a diagram, and we will go in that MSNBC slot.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, well, what a delightful idea.
Let's hope
it all shakes out like that. Why?
So will you get 10 p.m. every weeknight on NBC?
That's the rumor.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That I just started. 1-800-STEP-1-TV phone number toll-free from anywhere. 34 minutes after the hour. Yes, the breaking news. TMZ reporting Jay Leno will abandon primetime when the Winter Olympics.
You put stop show at 9 o'clock. Let's keep moving it down until I'm...
Well,
after
the news was coming fast and furious after I sent that story to you.
Yes. It's going to be a half-hour show.
So it's
a
half-hour show.
Beginning at 11:30 until midnight, and then Conan O'Brien from midnight until 1, and then Jimmy Fallon.
And that's going to be the Tonight Show. So they're not giving Jay the Tonight Show back. It's the Jay Leno show.
The Jay Leno show.
Right, and then Conan still has the Tonight Show.
Confusing.
Yes. This is how you quell an affiliate revolt, and that's all this is about. The local news at 11 o'clock has been tanking.
Has some NBC executive somewhere blown off his own in his underpants by mistake?
I don't. You know what? They did this Jay Leno thing to save money, right? And now they're going to end up having three people in late night instead of just two, and so it's going to cost them more money than they started out with.
Yeah, but it's going to help them in the long run because it's not going to last forever. If Jay gets beaten by Dave now, they'll, you know, cut Jay loose and he'll go to Fox. Conan may bolt. But they're going to still pay Jay the same salary they were paying him at 10 p.m., and they're going to have to spend more to put more programming back, but they'll get a lot of ad revenue, and the affiliates won't revolt. And again, every local NBC newscast has been so hurt by the Leno show all around the country.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. It was because of the affiliates. But, man, boneheaded network decisions.
However, Joe Lieberman's ratings are down to 25%, so he might get the 11:30 spot. We're not sure. I've never touched my Tonight Show money, you know. I've never touched it. I haven't even looked at it yet. I don't know where it is.
Adam tweets me, Steph, can you mention how gay it is that the New Jersey gay marriage bill was defeated today?
Yeah.
That is completely gay, Adam. You're right.
That said, the average Guido thinks straight marriage is pretty gay, too.
Although, I think Pauly D in the situation might have had something going on.
Hey, you know what? I'll tell you something. If Reagan hadn't defunded the public schools, Jersey Shore might never have been on MTV.
Anne Marie in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Anne Marie.
Hey, you know, I called when I was listening to that guy who called from Seattle about renewable energy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think a subsequent caller kind of touched on the issue as well, and I agree with that guy. And it's basically, you know, the oil industry has been subsidized by this country and by the taxpayer for years. Why can't we do the same for renewable energy, like the guy says? Have a policy and stabilize it, and therefore investment would be stabilized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, good. You're the smartest girl in class today. Thank you. All right, Sue in Calgary on President Bush. Hello, Sue.
Hi. You had a guy ring in about, and you guys were mentioning that George Bush saw the planes. And
he saw the planes.
Right, and I believe he did.
He did not. Do you remember on 9/11 the footage of the first plane hitting the World Trade Center was shot by the two French documentary makers who were with the firemen. That video didn't even surface on your TVs until a couple of days after 9/11.
Right.
There was no live footage of the first plane hitting the World Trade Center. That didn't happen.
Right. I realize that he didn't see the public video, but how do you know that he didn't see a different video?
Because he said he saw it on TV. Before he walked
into the
classroom.
It wasn't on TV.
Right, so he was lying.
We were just making the point that people are jumping all over Obama for little things, and that's a pretty big thing to lie about.
There
you
may
know?
Have been security cam footage that picked it up as well, which wasn't publicly available.
Yeah, but he said he saw it on TV.
Thanks, Jim. That's what I was trying to get at. Because I think that he may have seen a video, but not misspoken about the source.
George Bush misspeaking? Why? When did that ever happen? Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Dave.
Oh, good morning, kids. I'm in Michigan here, but let me make a comment about the rhetoric of terrorism. I mean, it's so unbelievable, and if anybody read the August 6th briefing, it's eye-popping. And let me remind everybody that in the 240-year history of our country, there was only one attack. And so when they say that he kept us safe, it's ridiculous. There was only one attack, and it happened on their watch. And there were also six or seven warnings in June and July that termed an attack imminent. And we know from checking the history of the White House and that there was no response, zero response. Mm-hmm. And quickly, I'm convinced that the GOP operates on either one of these two mottos. The masses are fill in the blank, or a lie is as good as the truth as long as you stick to it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, thank you, honey. Mm-hmm. All right, a little celebrity stack. In the Isn't It Ironic file this morning, Charlie Sheen has been dropped by Hanes. who continues to sell wife-beater T-shirts?
Isn't it ironic?
Oh.
That's beautiful.
Don't you think?
Charlie Sheen gave us all one last Christmas gift, and I'm always going to be grateful to him for that.
I don't think Haynes calls them wife-beaters, though.
No. So Mariah Carey has blamed her loony acceptance speech at the Palm Springs International Film Festival on director Lee Daniels. She says that he was telling her jokes beforehand, and they had splashes of champagne.
Yeah.
Chris, you know Mama has a splash or two here and there.
Uh-huh. And you end up sounding like Mariah Carey on our nightly phone calls.
I had a splash before I did Larry King last night. I'm surprised I didn't thank Helen Mirren.
I heard Mariah was fine. Billy Joel gave her a lift home. Everything worked out.
She also said she was rushing to receive the honor, and she didn't eat enough. So that completes her list of excuses.
She hasn't used food poisoning yet.
No. Yeah. Or exhaustion.
Oh, dear God. Are you kidding me? America's Got Talent. This is a bigger story than Leno. It's Hoffless now.
Mm-hmm.
America's Got Talent is Hoffless.
Yes. Hmm. That's called damage control.
D-Listed writes, the Hoff has been fired from America's Got Talent because the producers were sick of him stealing Purell from everyone's dressing room to use as a mixer. Wait, did I say fired? I meant to say the Hoff left on his own accord. Yes, let's hear it from the Hoff. He said, I'm proud I was part of making America's Got Talent the number one rated show for the past 4 summers. It's been a rewarding experience, and now I'm thrilled to be able to follow my dream to do my own TV show, which will be announced very shortly.
Mm. Oh, boy. Yes, the pilot will be announced very shortly. The run won't happen.
Chris, by the way, that's the excuse I use every time I get fired.
Mm?
I think I said that at Oxygen. I'm like, I'm working on my own show.
I do want to point out
which that I was.
This book says Warren Beatty slept with 13,000 women. Keep in 13,000 people. Keep in mind, when you sleep with Madonna, you're sleeping with everyone she slept
yeah,
with.
That's
so it's
true.
Actually 500 people plus 12,005.
That's true.
With Mo.
Here's another edition of icky celebrity deformities. You know the Bond girl, Gemma Arterton?
Gemma?
Do you know who she is?
Gemma Arterton?
Gemma.
Gemma or is it Gemma?
Gemma Arterton?
Gemma.
I don't know.
Okay.
She has two extra fingers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But here's the icky part. She says there's no bones in them, just the fingers and the fingernails.
What Bond movie?
You could have those removed, you know?
That's like my... I have great Pyrenees. They have dew claws. They just kind of hang there. They don't really... do anything.
Well, Denise Rippers is a Bond girl, and she has a brain that does nothing.
Yeah.
And she also says she has a crumpled ear, which I don't...
Wow, it's getting hotter and hotter.
And she was a Bond girl?
Why wouldn't Bond settle down with her?
Yeah. Yes. Okay, here is some breaking news for Nicolette Sheridan, who, thank God, is all right after being hospitalized after a horse-riding accident. Stop pretending you're in a Kotex commercial. The Inquirer reports Nicolette galloped bareback near her San Fernando Valley estate in pouring rain without a helmet. And she was bucked off the horse. Anyway, she is, after tests for possible injuries, docs stapled up the gash on her head and sent her home, so she's all right.
Good. It's still safer than bareback with Michael Bolton, I want to add.
Oh,
there.
Oh, dude.
She's a lovely woman. I've met her. Very nice lady. Very
John
nice
Louise
lady.
Fugelsang.
Bad taste in boyfriends. Lovely woman.
All right. Let's go back to the terror press conference yesterday. John Brennan, Deputy National Security Advisor. Wow. I must say it's a little refreshing, John, after the amount of passing the buck we heard in the Bush administration, mm-hmm. whether it was 9/11 or Katrina, to have people step into the plate.
I told the president today, I let him down. I am the president's assistant for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism. And I told him that I will do better, and we will do better as a team.
You know, that was the one thing I really liked out of the press conference, the president saying, I'm less interested in laying blame than in fixing it. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bush administration was always state and local and Katrina and, oh, you know, I mean, it was an endless string of excuses for what went wrong in Iraq, for what, you know, oh, well, it was that guy's fault or I didn't know. He said what, you know.
Folks, after 9/11, who should have been fired? The National Security Advisor. Mm-hmm. That was Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah,
she got a raise and a promotion.
And George Tenet.
Who got a medal, too.
Yeah. All right,
John,
fired.
John Brennan, once again, yesterday.
On the issue of Mr. Alaki, yes, we were very concerned after the Fort Hood shooting about what else he might be doing here, and that's why there was a very determined and concerted effort after that to take a look at what else he might be trying to accomplish here in the homeland.
He went on to talk about what the report told him.
We didn't know they had progressed to the point of actually launching individuals here, and we have taken that lesson, and so now we're all on top of it.
Okay.
I don't understand that. They hadn't progressed to the launching efficiency.
They didn't think that they had progressed to the point where they were launching individual attacks.
Sending individuals.
Yeah.
That
right. seems like it's a breakdown. It's a failure right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good.
Janet Napolitano, who of course the right wing is out for her head yesterday at the press
tactic of using an individual to foment an attack as opposed to a large conspiracy or a multi-person conspiracy such as we saw on 9/11, that is something that affects intelligence.
Well, that would be a conspiracy theory.
Well,
postulating that there is a conspiracy, that's crazy. That never happens. Everybody knows that.
By the way, guess who defended her is Tom Ridge. Obviously, many conservatives have been calling for her resignation, blah, blah, blah.
Huh. Every
former head of the Department of Homeland Security said much of this criticism is misplaced. Tom Ridge, who, of course, was the Homeland Security Director, he gave us that nifty color-coded terror alert system.
Yeah, that came in handy. Whenever you got to scare people for votes, Orange.
He said the Department of Homeland Security could not have revoked his visa. The Department of Homeland Security could not have put his name on the National Counterterrorism Center. So while there is obviously some criticism pointed in the department's direction and at the secretary, I think by and large it is misplaced.
Every former director of Homeland Security has come out in defense of Janet Napolitano. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, because it's their Bush bureaucracy that is in place.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We're an unusual family.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We are in the midst of a jumbo Fridays with Hugo saying.
That's right. Can I point out, this British study didn't actually prove that the G-spot doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. It just proved that a bunch of British guys couldn't find it, okay? And it's worth stressing that.
Whoever invents the G-spot GPS, that will be a billionaire.
Yeah, American men couldn't find it with two hands and a Hubble telescope.
Two hands might be excessive. All
right. Well, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mama. We're warming it up nicely here in Minnesota, getting ready for you to come in a couple of weeks, by the way.
I'm coming to the Blue State Ball.
Mm. Yes,
January 23rd. Come see Mama.
I won't be able to be your little host like I was the last time, unfortunately. But anyway.
You won't be my handler?
No, I can't. No one's asked. Isn't that sad?
Oh, who will handle me, I wonder?
Well, I'm letting that one go. Anyway, talking about the Bush administration, all the stuff that's going on now, I remember what my late father used to say about this. He'd say, excuses only satisfy those who make them. And this former administration, the Bush administration, has been making excuses for everything under the sun. They don't even know how to behave when somebody is honest and says, yeah, I'm the leader, so I am responsible. So they have to come up with all this idiotic, childish kind of banter and make up crap as they go along.
Yeah.
The other thing, it's like they are taking their playbook or their sacred book is Orwell's 1984, talking about war constantly, which was a part of that book, and also the Book of Revelation, which is always talking about war, wars happening.
Yeah, we have always been at war.
Yeah, and they like it. They like it because it's always a state of chaos, which also from a psychological standpoint, if you want people to comply, you keep them in a constant state of chaos so they can't think for themselves.
It's Cold War with turbines.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, honey. Barry in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Bear.
Hi, Steph. How you doing?
Hey, good.
Hey, love you, girl.
I love you back.
And love your whole crew there.
Yes.
I just want to ask something. I only caught a little bit about the 9/11 on TV. I worked at the time. I was working in a factory, and I worked second shift, so I was home in the morning. And I heard it on the radio, and then I turned on TV. I sat there and watched the whole thing, and it was on TV that morning.
The first plane, sir.
Not the first plane.
That was the second.
Second plane was caught on TV.
A lot of people saw the second plane.
I know what you're saying. I didn't actually see the plane when I started watching it. They had somebody had apparently shown it to somebody because it showed the first plane and then you could see the second plane coming around. And then
there was no video of the first plane.
No, there was no TV coverage.
TV.
No, it was a French film crew that captured it. They just happened to be in the right place at the right time.
It didn't air a couple
of
days.
Thank you, Barry. I mean, I lived here and I saw it. I remember.
Yeah.
You know.
Now it's possible that there was security camera footage of it that was shot,
but it didn't air on television.
Didn't air on TV, but perhaps someone in the know showed it to him. But of course, they couldn't really entrust Bush.
Look, Bush
kind of
lied when he said they attacked us that day because they hated our freedoms. Okay, that's the real big lie. Much bigger than that. He saw the first plane hit on TV that morning.
Exactly.
Hello, he lied. That's pretty much.
Yeah, Bin Laden was in his cave with the Bill of Rights. Oh, this makes me so mad.
And listening to his
B-52s. Yeah. Bin Laden, like, what do I hate more than anything? Let me see, dogs? No. Women? No. Jews? No. Send in your food? No. Freedom! Those who are going to attack Canada? No. Amsterdam? No. Switzerland? No. Sweden? No. America?
Steven in Long Island. Hello, Steve.
Steph. Hey, Steph.
Yeah.
One of your alum from
from the Weed Show has his own show. You know who that is. I'm not going to say his name unless you want me to, unless I can.
Weed?
But he took, he's Opie. You know,
oh, uh-huh.
Like, okay, he took, his partner took one of the pictures off Drudge of the full body scanners, and with three clicks in Photoshop, it looks just like a hazy picture, nude picture. You could see the person's face. You could see every part mm-hmm. of her body and everything. And it's on his partner's Twitter, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's they're just, you know, blowing smoke up everybody's, you know, behind about this.
Which
thing.
They can see really clearly on the picture.
Yeah, they can blow smoke up your ass, and then they can see it. But, yeah. Oh, okay, thank you.
Well, that speaks to, you know, the racial profiling issue. And Bill Maher has come out and said, look, you know who they should be profiling is Middle Eastern men. And I think they make a valid point there, except this latest character was from Africa.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, again, I'm in favor of radical profiling. Let's profile anybody with a one-way ticket. And I think that Obama's done the smart thing by picking 13 countries whose citizens we will harass when they
and
try to
by
find
the way,
dwellers.
There are Muslims all over the world of every conceivable race.
Absolutely.
So exactly. And you know what?
Profiling is...
And most of them, and exactly, you can't profile every Muslim. You can't even tell who's a, what are you going to put gold stars on them? I mean, they're not there yet.
And you can't tell the radicals from the normal people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. one good thing we can all count on is in 2010, I can guarantee you that non-douchebags of all faiths will continue to get along just fine with non-douchebags of all faiths.
Yes, exactly.
By the way, you know, we often say, what did you have to do to get arrested in the Bush administration? Because many of them we see on TV and go, well, why aren't they trading cigarettes for their life in prison? A former Bush White House lawyer has been charged with attempted murder. That's what you have to do.
Oh, yes. Oh?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
He, a former deputy of George Bush's White House counsel's office under Fred Fielding was charged with attempted murder of his wife.
I don't think any of the Bush administration should be put in jail, but I do think we should bring back stocks and put them in stocks in public in the town square. That's justice, Your Honor.
Hmm.
I'm sorry, but if Obama found a cure for cancer, these guys would say, why does he hate chemotherapy?
Right.
You know, by the by, speaking of health care working its way finally to completion, hopefully, a new study in health affairs. We've said this before. Republican lawmakers, the states with the most to gain under health care reform are overwhelmingly represented by Republicans, and those states likely to do worse, much more likely to have Democratic senators. States most likely to win as a result of health care reform, Arkansas, Idaho, Kentucky, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Utah. All of these states have a relatively high number of uninsured or in the bottom half of states in terms of costs under both financing mechanisms among, you know, so
yeah, but they have one propaganda source, and that's Fox News.
I mean, but you know, somebody makes the point, if senators and representatives drop their ideological allegiance and voted to advance the interests of their constituents, the health care reform effort would actually attract bipartisan support.
Republicans
that would be
get
a new idea, would be giving actually doing something that would be good for your constituents.
You'll get reelected, they'll be happy. You can actually say you did something beyond blowing up brown people in a third world nation. And getting tax cuts for people who don't need them. Those are your two big accomplishments, Republicans. Work on it.
Exactly. John Fugelsang, how can we find out things that are Fugelsangian?
Follow me on Twitter. It's 140 characters, but that's still fewer than an episode of True Blood.
Yeah.
So come on and follow me on the Twitter and on the Facebook, and I will have that website fixed someday this decade.
Okay. All right. StephanieMiller.com is ours. By the way, don't forget, Mama will be on The Ed Show on MSNBC tonight. That's 6 p.m. Eastern, and also on The Ed Show on Monday on MSNBC as
that's
well.
That's a lot of media whoring you got going on.
Woo! I am exhausted.
That's why she moved to New York.
He's doing the Lord's work, folks, all over the place.
All right, that's it for us. Have a great weekend. See you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.